into the Carolinas.
The weather system is also bringing heavy snow and sleet to the Midwest. President Obama is returning to the White House to take up talks on averting the fiscal cliff. If no deal here is reached, automatic tax hikes would kick in, hitting middle-income earners for an extra $2,000 a year. That would mean cutbacks for many. The retail industry would be hard hit.
If retailers stop creating jobs, the economy as a whole will probably stop creating jobs.
That's David French of the National Retail Federation. There are just 6 days till we go over the so-called fiscal cliff. This is NBC News Radio. The condition of former President George H.W. Bush took a downward turn as the 88-year-old spent his Christmas hospitalized.
The former president was initially admitted about a month ago for what was described at the time as a bronchitis-type cough. Now, in the weeks since, his doctors have said he has developed some problems, which include becoming very weak, and he also has a low-grade fever. In their words, they say they are cautiously optimistic that he will recover.
That's NBC's Janet Shamlian reporting from Houston. More violence in Afghanistan. Police say a vehicle driven by a suicide bomber exploded at the gate of a major U.S. military base. No U.S. troops were killed. Several protesters were detained this morning outside Russia's parliament. The demonstrations come over a vote to ban Americans from adopting Russian children. And fewer preschoolers from low-income families are obese in the U.S. That's according to new figures from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. I'm Richard Louie, NBC News Radio.
Dear Honda, thanks for the killer deal you got my mom on the Honda Odyssey during the Happy Honda Day sales event. The rear view camera means mom's actually got eyes in the back of her head, like she's been claiming for years. Also, she saved a bunch of money, which means there should be no excuse when it comes time for my birthday gifts. Plural. Sincerely, Mommy's Little Princess.
More happiness and standard features with every Honda during the Happy Honda Day sales event. Get a great deal on the 2013 Odyssey with standard features like a rear view camera. Visit your Honda dealer today.
Imagine your favorite cigarette. Now, imagine it without the smoke and cigarette smell. Like the introducing the Enjoy King, the first electronic cigarette with the look, feel, and flavor of the real thing. Finally, smokers have a real alternative. New Enjoy King. Cigarettes you've met your match. Available at participating 7-Eleven and Sheets stores. Not for sale to minors. Contains nicotine, which is addictive. Find out more at Enjoy.com.
The holiday is over for Wall Street as traders get back to work still peering over the fiscal cliff that helped to send share prices lower in Monday's shortened trading effort. Some other things the market will be considering today, a rather disappointing holiday shopping season with MasterCard ShopperTrack showing a less than 1% advance in sales, about a third of the most conservative forecast. The only economic report due today, a look at home prices. Now, car sales in the U.S. have been showing signs of bouncing back in recent months, but the real savior of the car industry may be Russia. The New York Times says even as General Motors scales back in the rest of Europe, it's opening new plants in Russia, and it's not alone. Surging demand for cars in that country, with sales up 40% in the first half of the year, has Ford, Volkswagen, Nissan, and Renault all opening new plants in Russia. And workers there may want to try Assinibon, a U.S. mall-based baked goods seller finding success in Russia, its fastest-growing market, but it's also expanding in countries in the Middle East. I'm Steve Podisk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
As a small business owner, you've probably heard how Constant Contact helps small businesses grow with email marketing. And you may be asking, could it really work for me? Well, consider this. Every dollar small business owners spend on email marketing puts $40 back in their pockets. So it's no surprise that 2 out of 3 of them plan to invest more in email this year. Now you may be asking, how can I get a piece of that action? Simple. Just visit ConstantContact.com to start your free email marketing trial today.
Shaquille O'Neal for Icy Hot.
If you've got pain, you need the patch.
The Icy Hot Patch. Powerful, targeted, fast-acting pain relief that stays put without the mess. Icy to dull the pain, hot to relax it away. In a variety of sizes, from back, shoulders, knees, even arthritis. So you're covered whenever and wherever you hurt. Stop pain right at the source with Icy Hot Patches.
Pain's no match for the Icy Hot Patch.
For temporary topical pain relief, use only as directed.
Geico says, let's make life simpler.
You need to buy something, but you don't want to make a mistake. So what do? Scour the web? Collect sales circulars? Ask your brother-in-law? How about this? When it comes to car insurance, Geico has a 97% customer satisfaction rating. I repeat, 97%. So make it simple. Just ask a friend who has Geico. Then click or call. You could make it 98%.
GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway, and you'll also receive free shipping. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal, and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. We're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free, get two free gifts, and free shipping when you call right now. You heard it. This offer won't last long. Visit GetProactive.com or call 1-800-614-4102. That's 1-800-614-4102.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
Welcome to the show, the president of the Ambassador Bridge Company, Dan Stamper. Dan, it's a pleasure to have you on First Shift this morning.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Tony.
Well, I appreciate that. Listen, we've explored all the proposals at this point, and so now it's time to take a look at Proposal 6. Dan, exactly what does Proposal 6 ask of the voter?
All Proposal 6 is asking is that if the state of Michigan, which is owned by all the citizens of Michigan, is going to get involved in a project, a billion-dollar mega project like an international bridge, that the voters would have a say. And as you and your listeners probably know from this governor, having a say is not always what's in his best interest. So Proposal 6 isn't whether you support a new bridge or you don't. It's just the right to have a say and a vote, whether you do or you don't, at a later date.
All right, so if we are to vote yes on Proposal 6, that means that we, as you said, as the owners, if you will, of the state of Michigan, get a say-so on whether or not a bridge gets built?
That's right, and it also allows the folks in Michigan to better understand what this project is about, because as it stands right now, the legislature has said no to this bridge over and over again. And the governor says, I don't care what the legislature says, I know better. And 600,000 citizens of Michigan signed petitions saying, we want the right to understand this and determine if it's good for us or it's not good for us. And the governor says, I don't care what those 600,000 folks say. So Proposal 6 is nothing but an effort to allow the citizens of Michigan to have a vote on a project like this bridge.
Well, you and I, of course, talk privately, and so I want to say that up front. One of the questions I asked you off the air is people are going to say, well, this sounds, of course, very self-serving. We know the Ambassador Bridge Company wants to build the new bridge. We know that they already own the old one. And isn't this a little bit of a monopoly? Isn't this just about their own vested interest? How do you respond to that, Dan Stamper?
Well, you know, we've been in this business. The Ambassador Bridge has been part of Detroit and Windsor and Michigan and Ontario for 80-some years. Over the last 15 years, I've been involved in preparing to build a second span here with the support of the governments. And as we move forward investing hundreds of millions of dollars, everybody was in agreement of what we were going to do. And then a few years ago, Canada says, we don't want a private-owned bridge. We're going to move a mile west and build a government-owned bridge. And the governor of the state of Michigan has gone along with that, notwithstanding that the Michigan legislature has said no for years and that 600,000 folks signed petitions saying, wait a minute, we want a right to determine what we want for Michigan. So from our perspective, we've invested a lot of hard work. We operate the most efficient border crossing in North America, and that's been identified by Federal Highway and other reports. And we've done it in a way that hasn't cost or risk the taxpayers for 80 years.
And now
we're being pushed, just like Detroit is, by the governor to do something different.
Well, I do want to point out to this audience that the Ambassador Bridge is a union bridge. You have worked successfully with the Teamsters for many, many years. Kevin Moore, who is who you know quite well and is a regular guest on this program, has said on this very air that the Maroon family and the Ambassador Bridge Company have been excellent employers and have treated his membership very fairly, and they do make a comfortable living. So I do want to say that moving forward. And I would ask Dan Stamper, if you do ultimately get the right to build the bridge, would that also be, if you will, a union bridge as well?
Oh, absolutely. You know, we've been, as I said earlier, we've been in business for 83 years, 84 years. Our people have been unionized since, I think, 1954 or 56. And so we may be one of the oldest union shops in Detroit, and our relationship with Teamsters has always been good. And so anything that we do going forward, Kevin and I have talked about this. We are a union shop. We're not trying to become a non-union shop. And our relationship with the unions have been good, and we look forward to continuing that.
I also want to point out, again, Kevin has tried to reach out to the governor's office if indeed it goes in that direction and the state were to build the bridge or be involved in that, that they will not even have a conversation about whether or not they'll use union help union builders on that project. And so that's been quite frustrating for the entire labor community, Dan Stamper, as the governor will not commit to using union labor.
Well, I think it's become even worse than that, Tony. The governor has written to Federal Highway asking for a waiver of the Buy American clause in federal law. His arrangement, or so-called arrangement, he's negotiated with Canada, allows Canada to supply all the materials and the labor for this project, and he has to get a waiver from the federal government to allow that materials to be acquired in Canada instead of the U.S. So, you know, as the governor keeps saying, it's a free bridge. There is no free bridges. And I think that from the perspective of not only Michigan, but the rest of the U.S., the governor is turning over what could be a major boon for U.S. workers and giving it to Canada and asking the U.S. government to waive the Buy American clause. Our position has been that the benefits that we all hear about of building another bridge, the benefits of jobs, the benefits of investment, the benefits of future trade, all of those come from our bridge equal to whatever this government bridge would supply. So, you know, our position has been and continues to be, let's talk about the reality, not projections that people do. We get assaulted, as you know, by what's called the Truth Squad, which is the governor, saying, their claims are wrong, their claims are wrong. You go back and look at the history. We've been saying for years that the traffic volumes that are going to come in this corridor are not going to sustain the investment that would be needed for this bridge. For years, they called us liars. Now
they're still calling you liars. Well, you know, Dan Stamper, they're still calling you liars. And there are a lot of people that would say that the advertisements that the Ambassador Bridge Company or an affiliated group have been putting on air have not been truthful and that they are not telling the proper story. How do you respond to that?
Well, if you know, anyone who would take the time to go back and look at the testimony that I've given, our company has given to the Michigan State Legislature, in the last 10 years, and we were called liars at that time, distorting the truth, distorting the facts, and the state continued to say the bridge will pay for itself, traffic's going to grow at 10%, this is a no-brainer, and now they're admitting, even in this contract that the governor signed, that traffic did not grow as they projected and will not grow as they projected, and the bridge is not financially sustainable on its own. It has to be subsidized. For years, they said we were distorting the facts by saying that. Now they're admitting it. And I think the ads that we run are accurate ads. There are studies or projections by the governor that says it could be different. But I think a year from now, 2 years from now, when the voters would have a right to vote on this bridge. The facts will be out again, that the claims that we make are factual. We understand this business. We've been in it a long time. And the history has proven that the statements made by the Department of Transportation and the governor's office have not borne out to be truthful or accurate.
Dan Stamper, again, my guest. He's the president of the Ambassador Bridge Company. We have to take a break here in just a minute, and I'm hoping you can stay with us, Dan. But let me ask this question before we get to the break. If you're, what you're saying is true, this is a simple question. Listen, you know your numbers better than I do. Do we need another bridge?
No. The facts are that traffic is down 40-some percent. And, you know, that's part of our claim along the way, and we were criticized for it. The facts are, not looking at the actual traffic, traffic is still down 40%. So the idea of an emergency or a crisis of having another bridge is not accurate at all today, tomorrow, or even 25 years from now. Our issue is we've got an 83-year-old bridge. We maintain it well. We can build a new one, take advantage of the fast availability of the customs clearance, and save a lot of the expense on the maintenance of the old bridge by doing the repairs without traffic on it.
All right, so we've got to take a quick... All right, Dan, thanks. We got to take a quick break. Stay where you're at. We'll come back. 888-552-3595 if you'd like to join us. Proposal 6 is the question. We'll get to some more answers right after we do this.
Hi, this is Steve Henderson, the editorial page editor at the Detroit Free Press, and I want to wish everyone at First Shift a happy holiday and happy new year.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Mommy, sing me to sleep.
Sure, sweetie. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. You're a ball of gas that's very far. 32 light years in the sky. 10 parsecs, which is really high. Helium, carbon, and
hydrogen.
Fuse to make our starry friend. When it enters supernova stage, it explodes with bursts of rays. And if the star's mass is big and bold, it will become a big black hole. And if the star's mass is big and bold, it will become a big black hole.
Thanks, Mom.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in math and science, so it's up to parents to help create a brighter future for them. For some simple ideas, go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
When my family found out I was on drugs, they were devastated.
It was killing them, you know, it was killing them. It
tears your family up more than it does you.
You want to stop, you know, in your heart you need to stop.
My mom was just a nervous wreck. I could just see her, getting older way too fast.
My oldest brother banned me from the house.
You're a drug addict. I don't want you around my kids.
I just couldn't help it. I couldn't get a grip on it. I couldn't even stay clean to get my son back.
It doesn't matter if it's Monday at 10 in the morning or if it's Sunday at 2 in the morning. You got to go get drugs or money, one or the other.
You pray to God, please help me quit this, stop this.
My dad was frantic, and he looked at me and he said, we're not going to gamble with your life.
I wanted to have my family back, and that's when my mother found Narcanon.
If you or someone you love has a drug or alcohol problem, call Narcanon today at 1-800-468-6933 or visit us at www.stopaddiction.com.
Is America truly the land of the free when working families have to struggle to survive? Are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Welcome back. Thanks for punching in with us this morning. My guest again is Dan Stamper. He is the president of the Ambassador Bridge Company. I appreciate him giving so generously of his time today. He also gave me a lot of time off the air. We had a long conversation last, Thursday or Friday. Maybe it was a Thursday or Friday before that. But I asked him some very tough questions, and he answered them. So, Dan, thank you for that. I appreciate you staying with us. We do have a couple callers, so let's go to the phones and welcome Fred in St. Clair to First Shift. Fred, you're on the air with Dan Stamper.
Thank you. The Canadian government seems to have a dog in the fight because of the location of the bridge. They don't want it, from what I understand, in the location that the bridge company wants to build, Mr. Stamper's bridge company. The other thing is, if it's such a bad idea, why do they want to build a bridge?
Well, those are two good questions. Fred, thanks for the call. Dan, we'll throw it to you.
Okay, let me first address the location. The bridge was picked by the governments where it's located today when it was built in the 20s, and it was picked because the major roads connect to it, and the freeways as they were developed were connected near it and on the U.S. side now to it. And the only issue in Canada, I keep hearing, and I think your listeners probably hear, that we dump traffic into downtown Windsor, which is not true, and everybody who lives in Windsor or who uses the bridge understands that. One of the best roads in Ontario is here on Church that leads to the bridge. Also, the Essex Parkway, the Windsor-Essex Parkway that's being built as part of the so-called Drick Bridge, fixes 9 to 11 kilometers from the end of the freeway in Canada straight toward the Ambassador Bridge. So our location is 9 out of the 11 kilometers of road is being fixed as we speak. It's under construction, and that freeway is headed directly to the Ambassador Bridge, and then it makes a left turn for 2 kilometers to head toward the Drick Bridge. Canada has a plan to finish 401 right to our bridge. They just don't want to put it on the table at this time and admit that that is a possibility.
You know, before we go back to the phone, Dan, you and I had, again, when we talked privately, I'd asked you this. I had told you the rumor was the Canadian government did not want to work with the Ambassador Bridge Company. You told me that was patently not true.
Well, I'll say it two ways. The Ambassador Bridge was created by a special act of both Congress and Parliament of Canada, and it's called reciprocal legislation. Both countries had to agree that they would pass legislation allowing the Ambassador Bridge to be one whole bridge, and under certain conditions, this is how it exists. That legislation is specific for our bridge, not for any bridge, and it is in existence, has been for 80 years, and can't be denied by one party or the other. It's reciprocal. So our right to exist, our right to twin our bridge, expand our bridge, improve our bridge, has been confirmed in writing from the State Department on the U.S. side and is confirmed in our legislation in Canada. So this issue of Canada won't allow us to land is false. We've already landed. We've been there for 83 years. We've already built the expanded plaza in Canada for the new bridge. And the issue is Canada's putting money on the table to try to get Michigan to fight with us because they don't want to.
Okay.
So,
go ahead.
Our issues are there's a lot of stuff being said and a lot of stuff going on, but we were created by government only to do what we're doing.
Dan, that's exactly why I have you here today, because all we do is hear criticism and rumors, and that's why I have you here today. I wanted to give you a chance to certainly present your side of this. Let's go back to the phones and say good morning to Dave in Sterling Heights. Dave, appreciate you calling this morning. You're on the air with Dan Stamper.
Yes, sir. Hello. I just wanted to pose two questions. The gentleman talked about them owning the bridge for 83 years. They haven't owned it for 83 years. I believe they just bought it in 1997, I think, around the late 90s. That's one question. And the other question is, I'm not sure why they're concerned about what the people want right now, because I believe they closed the street downtown Detroit without asking anyone or the city of Detroit and put up a fence and tried to keep people out of there and closed off the whole street. And there was a business on the street that was documented in the paper that they closed off the street and was starving this one business guy out.
All right, well, Dave, slow down. Thank you for the questions. I appreciate it. The first one was actually a statement, not a question, but I appreciate the call, Dave. Dan, I'll let you go ahead and address that.
Right. The bridge has been privately owned and operated since its inception in the 20s. Our company bought the bridge in 1979, and we've operated it since then.
Okay. That's the answer to the question.
It's always been privately owned, operated by the Detroit International Bridge Company.
Okay, fair enough. And I understand, you know, Dave, I understand your frustration. Listen, they dealt with that from a legal perspective. It has been corrected, but like so many of these things, they get obfuscated. And I heard you getting a little bit angry, Dave, and I get that. But this is not all Dan Stamper's fault. Let me make that clear as well.
And let me add to that, Tony, that, you know, we are standing up against a number of levels of government that have a lot of luxuries and a lot of tools to throw stones at us as a private company. And believe it or not, they're doing it and have been for a long time. So, you know, we're a private company trying to operate the best bridge in North America and have been for a long time. And the governments have their own desires, whether it's right or wrong. And this governor, you know, has his desires and believes he's better armed at making decisions for Detroit, for us, for Michigan, than the legislature or the people.
All right, well, we're running short of time, Dan. I want to get to one more call. But before I do that, it's something I believe I said to you off air that I want to say on air. I believe in capitalism. I believe in success. I believe in excess success. All right? I have nothing. You guys have been wildly successful. And I understand that automatically that automatically brings criticism. It does. And I've said this, whether we're talking about my dislike for a certain presidential candidate, I have never had a problem with how successful he is. I've never had a problem with success in general. I've been an entrepreneur my entire life. So let's be careful what we're criticizing. Very quickly, Joe in East Point. Joe, you got to get right to your point.
Address the vote. The voting part of it. I did some research some months ago. The original bridge, the bridge that stands now, was voted on by the people of Detroit. They were petitioned to hold a referendum as to bridge or no bridge, and the people voted yes, let's build a bridge. A vote was held, and it passed.
All right. That's well, Joe, I'm going to have to thank you. Dan, that's it. We're out of time. I appreciate so much you giving us some time today. Obviously, you want people to vote yes on 6.
I think people have a right to vote yes on 6 and have a right to ask the hard questions about what this state is doing, and we hope they do vote yes on Proposal 6.
Dan, thanks so much for your time once again.
Hi, this is Susan Gimes with MERS News Service, and I just want to wish everybody a happy holiday.
On 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week. A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen, be heard, take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
My family found out I was on drugs. They were just terrified.
Everyone that loves her was devastated.
I mean, it got to the point where my mom couldn't even sleep if I wasn't home.
My parents almost got a divorce because of my drug use.
They were constantly bailing me out of trouble and paying off drug dealers and pawn shops and lawyers and hospital bills.
I don't think I'd ever cried as much in my entire life.
There was no time that she didn't worry about what was going on with me, and you could see it on her face.
He did not know how to take control of his life. The drugs had done it.
It was the closest thing to walking death I can imagine.
And I remember my mother saying to me one day, "You're going to die if you don't get help." I wanted to have my life back and my family back. And that's when my mother found Narcanon.
If you or someone you love has a drug or alcohol problem, call Narcanon today at 1-800-468-6933 or visit us at www.stopaddiction.com.
I'm in the car next to you on the highway. I sit in front of you on the bus. I'm one out of every 6 Americans, and I'm struggling with hunger. This isn't an uncontrollable epidemic. There's enough food in this country to feed every hungry person. Please, visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for those around you, quietly struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Welcome indeed, and you are always well. The winds of change are blowing, and most of us, although we're thinking about November 6th, not everybody is. Some people are thinking about November of 2013, and as we learned on yesterday's program, when we had the campaign chair on for the Mike Duggan for Detroit Mayor campaign, well, sometimes even you, when you ask a direct question, you might not get the truthful answer. Well, we found that out because people were listening, and what people heard is not what happened. I turn my attention now to my friend John Caribbean. John is the executive director of the Michigan Nurses Association. And John, first of all, let me welcome you back to First Shift, and I appreciate you taking some time to set the record straight this morning.
Thanks, Tony. We always appreciate the opportunity to be on your show and the work that you do. I appreciate a chance to talk about this issue, and one of those people that was listening yesterday was me, and I was surprised to hear the comments that Conrad Mallett made yesterday regarding the organizing campaign that happened at the Detroit Medical Center just several years ago, 2007, 2008, in that time frame.
Well, you know, and, John, before you go on, let me just remind my audience, I had asked a very direct question. Is Mike Duggan a union buster? That was the exact question I asked him, and I had told him in advance that that would be one of the questions, because when he announced yesterday, a lot of people, John, reached out, or the day before, a lot of people reached out to me and said, Tony, do you know how anti-union this guy is? Well, I asked the question. You heard the answer, and he said, absolutely not.
Right. I think that's a revisionist attempt at history to suggest that he wasn't a union buster specifically in that campaign, and I don't know what to make of Mallett's comments, or whether he purposely lied or frankly their comments were false. The bottom line is they're inaccurate. They're not true. You could just go right down the list of the comments he made, and every single one of them was distorted at best. And starting with the idea that some outside union from California, some outsiders went to nurses to start a campaign. Frankly, those nurses at Detroit Medical Center came to us. And by us, I mean the Michigan Nurse Association, and came to us and said, we have a lot of problems in our workplace. We have no voice in decisions that affect the care of our patients. We're short on equipment, on supplies, and we don't feel like we can make a difference in our workplace. And we want to explore with you the opportunity to have a union in our workplace. And from that day forward, Mike Duggan and that team, administrative team of his, worked very hard to have a campaign that was built on harassing workers and intimidating them from exercising their rights to form a union.
Well, John, let me ask you a question there, because Conrad Mallett Jr. said yesterday on this show that the Detroit Medical Center was, quote-unquote, not resistant to the DMC nurses' efforts to organize. You're saying that is, again, a patent lie.
Yeah, I absolutely think it is. It's they worked throughout that campaign. They held one-on-one group meetings against nurses. They questioned nurses regarding their union support. They did surveillance on nurses. They disciplined nurses. They bombarded nurses with misinformation from their supervisors and hospital vice presidents and Mike Duggan himself. And we asked right from the start that we ask the employer to allow nurses to choose freely without intimidation on the issue of union representation. We ask them to respect the rights of nurses to organize. We ask them to stop using public funds to fight union organizing efforts. And these things never happened. And throughout the campaign, there was just a complete, let's say it differently, Mike Duggan did everything he could used every trick in the book to try to stop nurses from organizing. It's as simple as that. We filed unfair labor practice charges. Before the board issued a complaint, there was a settlement. I think if you go on our website at minurses.org, you'll see a lot of that material that we put up there under minurses.org, The Truth About Duggan. You can go on there and actually get the documents, the NLRB documents, and some of the material from the campaign that was put out by Duggan.
Well, and I want to let the audience know, we actually posted that link to the Michigan Nurses Association website last night. So if people want to go just to the Facebook page, click through, they can do that. But, you know, John, I thought it was interesting as I was speaking with your folks yesterday, and Dawn Kettinger, your communications director, she told me that you folks took this very seriously at the Michigan Nurses Association. You went out and dug up some boxes. You brought them upstairs. You started going through. You wanted to make sure that not only did you all remember everything correctly, but that you could document it so nobody's going to come back to you and say, no, you're the one that has revisionist history here.
Right. You know, it's important. You know, these nurses worked very hard to try to organize at that facility, and for Duggan to just try to make a mockery out of it and use that his quote record to somehow suggest that he was very supportive of labor is just a flat out inaccuracy, and I would say it's a lie. He did nothing to support those nurses' efforts. In fact, he did everything he could to fight against those nurses. And this whole idea that there was no union support or no inter-union cooperation between unions at DMC and M&A and so on. I can tell you we had such tremendous support in the Detroit community for our campaign. First with the union community, with the UAW and the steelworkers and AFG and SEIU. I mean, I could continue to name AFT and CWA, utility workers. But even in the community, we had 33, 35, something like that, religious leaders that signed onto a petition asking him to negotiate an election agreement with us. We had other organizations like Healthcare Now and the Metro Detroit AFL-CIO and the Jobs with Justice and ACORN and of Interfaith Workers Committee. These were all groups that supported our efforts and were out there with us on a regular basis trying to work with us to get nurses the rights that they frankly deserve to have a voice in the workplace.
As everybody does, which is why, John, we have all been working so hard to get Proposal 2 passed. That's all why we've been working so hard, especially partnering with you, to let people know what's happening in the 1st Congressional District with Dr. Beneshek and how heinous his behavior has been, towards his constituents, especially the seniors in his community. But, you know, John, before I get to the big question, which is that the employees turned the union down, and we're going to get to that after the break, I do want to say this. And the reason I had originally asked the question wasn't just because people had reached out to me and said, hey, you know, Duggan's anti-union, he's a unibuster. But the biggest reason I did it is right now in the city of Detroit, unions are being vilified. Unions are being sacrificed. There are men and women that have a union logo on their uniform, and they are actually eligible to qualify for food stamps because of what this mayor, Dave Bing, has done to the union base in this beautiful city of Detroit. I think it's important that the next mayor be pro-union.
Yes, absolutely. We agree. And not only pro-union, but pro-worker. And, you know, we have a big job ahead of us in the city of Detroit to to turn that city around. And there's no question that Dave being here, in my opinion, has not been good for the city of Detroit. And I think that my experience with Mike Duggan and the things I hear from others is that as long as you're doing what he'd like you to do, then everything works very well. But he doesn't like anybody that challenges him. And these nurses at DMC, the 1,800 nurses there, challenged him, and he worked very hard to keep them from having a voice in the workplace. And we don't need that in the city of Detroit, and we don't need it in the hospitals that we have in the city as well.
No question. John Cribbion, again, my guest, the executive director of the Michigan Nurses Association. Let me just remind everybody, the Michigan Nurses Association represents 11,000 registered nurses statewide, and as part of a national organization, represents hundreds of thousands more nurses. They care about one thing, and they care about one thing, and that's patient care at the end of the day. And as many of you know, have ever been in the hospital, have ever been in a doctor's office, have ever been in a lab, your first and sometimes only touch is by a nurse. Don't you think they should have a voice in the process? I would. All right, let's take a quick break here.
This is Jessica Tramontana, Communications Director with Progress Michigan, and we wish all of Tony Truppiano's audience a happy holidays.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
Need a boost to be your best? Drink SK Energy Shots. None of the bad stuff in it, so you never crash or get the jitters. Just a smooth rush of energy that tastes great. New SK Energy Shots. Make the switch to a better source of energy. Available at 7-Eleven, Planet Fitness, Rite Aid, and your local retailers.
Janine Marks, a 12-year-old, was fairly normal. She spent a lot of time online. One day, she met a new friend. The new friend had the same problems at home. They liked the same bands. They worried about the same subjects in school. They promised to keep each other's secrets. They wished they went to the same junior high. The new friend had good news. He said he was going to be in Janine's area one Saturday. He thought it would be amazing if they could just hang out, go to the mall. Janine agreed. The new friend didn't want parents messing this up. Janine showed up alone. So did her new friend, who wasn't in junior high, wasn't nice, and wasn't a 14-year-old boy. Last year, one in five children was sexually solicited online. Help delete online predators. Call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com to learn how to protect your kids' online life. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano.
I am Tony Truppiano. He is Kevin Moore, president of Teamsters Local
$299.
It just goes to show that boots on the ground and people at the voting polls, no matter if you make them stay 8-9 hours, this is America, and they tried voter suppression to keep people in line for 8-9 hours, elderly people. And you know what? They stood in line.
That's right.
They said, you're not going to steal this election from me. They tried to do everything in their power. Big money tried to do everything in their power. You can bet them 1% or sat home and got an absentee ballot and voted. They never waited no line. Them guys wouldn't stand in line for a cup of coffee.
On 1310, WDTW.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
So, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
My guest, John Caribbean, he is the executive director of the Michigan Nurses Association. If you're just joining us, yesterday on the show, Conrad Mallett Jr., who is the campaign chairman for the Mike Duggan for Detroit Mayor campaign, when asked the question, is Mike Duggan a union buster, he definitively said no, gave a variety of responses as to why he wasn't, only to have the community, and I should say the organized labor community and others, come out in full support for wanting to right some wrongs, as John Caribbean has been doing. John, as we went to break, I received an email from a nurse at the Detroit Medical Center who said she only became aware of the show yesterday. But she said this, and of course I promised her anonymity, so we'll leave it that way. But she said this, please tell John, when they're ready, we're still ready.
Okay, well, that's interesting. I don't know what that necessarily means.
To unionize, to unionize.
Yeah, well, then we'll put a call in to Mike and have a discussion with him about that. That wouldn't go to the issue, however, of how the employer conducts a campaign. I don't know what that means that they're ready. If that means that he's had a change of thinking around the idea.
No, John. This nurse said, when you guys are ready, they're ready. Not the DMC, well, the nurses.
I think that there's actually we know that, and we've actually talked to some nurses, and we know that there continues to be an interest there to organize, and we'll continue to work with those nurses in trying to exercise their right to organize. We get calls from them. We've been meeting with them. So it's inspiring to have a nurse that's listening to your show and recognizes that we haven't gone away, and we're not planning on going away. The hospital, those nurses in that hospital are important to us. We continue to have a relationship with them. We'll continue to work with them.
You know, John, let me ask the big question, because one of the things that Conrad Mallett Jr. said yesterday on this very program was that the employees turned down the union. Did they indeed turn the union down?
Well, I don't know what that means, turn the union down. There was never an election there, so I don't know how they could have turned the union down. The nurses chose not to go to an election, and there was at every step of the way the employer threw roadblocks at our ability to get to an election. We filed a petition to represent the nurses at Harper Hutzel Hospital at the time, and there was roughly 800 nurses there. The employer insisted during NLRB hearings that the only way that they would agree to an election short of going through a full-blown hearing and appeals was if we agreed to organize all 2,000 registered nurses at the same time and not organize the hospital that we had petitioned for. When we tried to work out that issue, the employer said, well, okay, the charge nurses are all supervisors, and we're going to litigate that issue. And again, that would have put us into a situation where there was appeal after appeal. When we tried to get close to working that out, then they said, okay, we're going to add 200 managers to the bargaining unit that you're going to have to also organize as part of the unit if you want to have a unit. At every step, they threw roadblocks in our way. And if they were sincere about organizing, they would have let the nurses make a choice about who they wanted to be represented by and which nurses wanted to have representation. That system, every one of those hospitals has unions in them separately to insist on things that went beyond the scope of what's required under the National Labor Relations Act was not, in our opinion, any attempt to really work with us to get those nurses a voice.
Well, John Cribbion, as I think you're well aware, for almost 2 years, I was intimately involved in the nurses' strike at Northern Michigan Hospital up in Petoskey. And although ultimately that did not go the way I had hoped it would, we certainly raised awareness. We certainly got community support. But there is one thing I learned in that process. Money always wins. Hospitals have lots of it, especially if you're using taxpayer dollars, which, of course, you are claiming that the Detroit Medical Center did to beat down union organization. Isn't that illegal, John?
Yeah, well, we thought so, but and there was hearings held. Fred Miller from the Health Policy Committee, Colvin Young the third, they held hearings on this issue and raised the issue. And I think that just as you feel that was wrong, many people felt that was wrong, and many organizations stood up and said to Duggan specifically and directly to him that that's wrong. You shouldn't be using public dollars to fight union campaigns. But fortunately, those are the types of things that our state's allowed to happen. And another example that union workers that we have attempts in this state to really stifle the voice of union workers. And we all know that collective bargaining, the difference it makes to keep our schools safe and our streets and of course our hospitals and the difference it makes for nurses in the way that they can deliver care to their patients.
You know, let me, John Cribbion, ask you this question. You're the executive director of the Michigan Nurses Association. You spent a lot of time with the legislature in Lansing. You certainly have members all over the state of Michigan. Do you think Mike Duggan is the answer to what ails Detroit?
No, I don't think he's the answer. But I think that's for people to ultimately look at his complete record and make that decision. You know, for us, we would say to Mike and Duggan directly is look, don't try to kid the voters. People deserve the truth, and the comments that were made yesterday are simply not the truth. He is not a supporter. In our view, he's not a supporter of labor. He was not a supporter of those nurses and their right to organize. And if you heard Conrad Mallett yesterday, he made it very clear that he didn't think every worker had a right to have a union. He said that very specifically at the DMC. He said that there were skilled workers that he didn't think were best represented in a union. And I think those nurses would disagree with that. Of course, he doesn't want nurses to have a voice because he knows the how powerful of the nurse's voice can be. And frankly, they like the way it is, where they make the decisions and everybody has to abide by them. And at the end of the day, it denies nurses the ability to advocate for their patients in an effective way.
Absolutely. Well, John, I want to thank you for your time this morning. We are just out of time for now, but this is not a story that's going to go away quickly, and we're going to continue to report the truth. John, I can't thank you enough for your time.
Well, thank you, Tony. I appreciate it very much.
Have a great weekend. We'll talk with you again soon. John Cribbion, again, the executive director of the Michigan Nurses Association. Proposal 4 when we continue. Home health care, does it need constitutional protection? We'll get to that question and more right here on 1310 WDTW.
Hello, it's Lori Lamarin from Planned Parenthood, wishing all of the listeners a wonderful and blessed holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hi, I'm Jimmy Smith, and I'd like to talk to you about a screening. No, not a movie screening, but a screening test for colorectal cancer. It could save your life. Colorectal cancer is highly preventable, yet it is the second leading cancer killer of men and women in the U.S. But it doesn't have to be. Screening finds precancerous polyps so that they can be removed before they turn into cancer. So please get screened for colorectal cancer. I did.
If you're 50 or older, get screened. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Put your loved one back in control of their life. Freedom from the suffering of addiction is just a phone call away. Call Narcanon at 1-800-468-6933 or log on to stopaddiction.com. That's Narcanon at 1-800-468-6933. Call now.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit. Listen on iHeartRadio, NBC News.
NBC News Radio, I'm Richard Louie. A major winter storm at a very bad time. NBC meteorologist Dylan Dreyer says, just as holiday travelers prepare to head back home, very heavy snow, high winds, and deadly tornadoes have pummeled large parts of the country.
There's so many different aspects to this whole storm. I mean, a foot of snow in portions of Arkansas, but we're also getting reports of about 19 reported tornadoes down through Mississippi.
The man who carried out a deadly ambush of firefighters on Christmas Eve near Rochester left a chilling note. 62-year-old William Spengler said he hoped to burn down his neighborhood and kill as many people as possible. A suicide bombing near a U.S. base in Afghanistan has killed at least three people. The dead are said to be Afghans. The healthcare industry is one of the most vulnerable to hackers. A year-long study for the Washington Post shows that hospital computers and medical devices have been easily breached. This is NBC News Radio. President Obama is shortening his Hawaiian holiday vacation to work on a way to stave off the looming fiscal cliff. Members of Congress are expected back tomorrow. NBC's Danielle Lee says the mix of tax hikes and deep automatic spending cuts will take effect if there's no agreement by January 1st.
Middle-income earners would owe Uncle Sam about $2,000 extra a year. Market research firm Ibis World predicts consumers will cut back in three main industries, automotive, apparel, and entertainment.
A new survey has ranked Virgin Airlines tops in serving flyers food with nutritional value. Air Canada is second, followed by Alaska Airlines. American, United, Delta, and U.S. Airways all rank in the middle on that list of the top 12. Holiday sales growth managed only an anemic 0.7% this year. Research firm Spending Pulse blames much of the weak season on Hurricane Sandy. I'm Richard Louie, NBC News Radio.
Because Susan switched to Geico and saved hundreds of dollars on car insurance, her retirement account wants to bake her a chocolate cake. But it can't. It's a retirement account. It doesn't have the upper body strength to lift a cake pan into an oven. Switch to Geico, and every time you see the savings, you'll know your retirement account wants to bake you a chocolate cake. But remember, it can't. It's a retirement account. It is, however, happy that you're saving money.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Imagine your favorite cigarette. Now, imagine it without the smoke and cigarette smell. Introducing the Enjoy King. The first electronic cigarette with the look, feel, and flavor of the real thing. Finally, smokers have a real alternative. New Enjoy King. Cigarettes, you've met your match. Available at participating 7-Eleven and Get-Go stores. Not for sale to minors. Contains nicotine, which is addictive. Find out more at enjoy.com.
Toyota is this year poised to regain the title world's biggest automaker, and it says it expects strong demand for its cars outside of Japan, where car sales have plunged, to push overall vehicle sales up 2% next year. That would give it record sales of just under 10 million vehicles. Now, car sales in the U.S. have been showing signs of bouncing back in recent months, but the real savior of the car industry may be Russia. The New York Times says even as General Motors scales back in the rest of Europe, it's opening new plants in Russia, and it's not alone. alone, surging demand for cars in that country, with sales up 40% in the first half of the year, has Ford, Volkswagen, Nissan, and Renault all opening new plants in Russia. Slower growth than forecast in holiday sales and the ever-present fiscal cliff not hurting the post-holiday mood on Wall Street after a couple of losing sessions. S&P futures are higher by 2 points, NASDAQ ahead 3. Dow futures are in the plus column by 20 points. I'm Steve Potusk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
As a small business owner, you've probably heard how Constant Contact helps small businesses grow with email marketing. And you may be asking, could it really work for me? Well, consider this. Every dollar small business owners spend on email marketing puts $40 back in their pockets. So it's no surprise that 2 out of 3 of them plan to invest more in email this year. Now you may be asking, how can I get a piece of that action? Simple. Just visit ConstantContact.com to start your free email marketing trial today.
Shaquille O'Neal for Icy Hot.
If you've got pain, you need the patch.
The Icy Hot Patch. Powerful, targeted, fast-acting pain relief that stays put without the mess. Icy to dull the pain, hot to relax it away. In a variety of sizes, from back, shoulders, knees, even arthritis. So you're covered whenever and wherever you hurt. Stop pain right at the source with Icy Hot Patches.
Pain's no match for the Icy Hot Patch.
For temporary topical pain relief, use only as directed.
Dear Honda, thanks for the killer deal you got my mom on the Honda Odyssey during the Happy Honda Day sales event. The rear view camera means mom's actually got eyes in the back of her head, like she's been claiming for years. Also, she saved a bunch of money, which means there should be no excuse when it comes time for my birthday gifts. Plural. Sincerely, Mommy's Little Princess.
More happiness and standard features with every Honda during the Happy Honda Day sales event. Get a great deal on the 2013 Odyssey with standard features like a rear view camera. Visit your Honda dealer today.
Imagine your favorite cigarette. Now, imagine it without the smoke and cigarette smell. Introducing the Enjoy King, the first electronic cigarette with the look, feel, and flavor of the real thing. Finally, smokers have a real alternative. New Enjoy King. Cigarettes, you've met your match. Available at participating 7-Eleven and Sheets stores. Not for sale to minors. Contains nicotine, which is addictive.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
I was absolutely blown away at the response to his brand of truth. Well, we've reached out to Representative Dillon, and he joins us this morning. He currently represents Michigan's 75th House District out of Grand Rapids, and soon will be part of the leadership team that takes over in 2013 as the campaign chair, if he needed any more passion than he already had. Well, I'm thinking this issue gave that to him. Representative Dillon, I can't thank you enough for joining us this morning and standing up for every working man and woman in the state of Michigan.
Well, thanks for having me, and I only wish that there were more people in our House chambers that were willing to listen to what is actually the truth about this legislation, but I know there's a lot of people out there and a lot of people around the state and around the country who are watching what we're doing and are, outraged at the way in which we're doing this and also the substance of this nonsense.
No, there's no question. There's no question. It's nonsense. And I know as I was watching that speech that you gave on the House floor, that passionate, that beautifully done speech, you know, and I got, and although you were holding notes, I'm thinking, Representative Dillon, most of that came from your heart.
Well, certainly did write a few notes, but this is an issue I've, long felt, and I think the governor was absolutely right, was extremely divisive for Michigan. Once people really know what right to work for less is, I think they're pretty angry. When I've talked to, I was in a web chat with MLive at 4:30 last Friday, and even the reporter didn't even understand what this was. The assumption was, you go in to an employer that has union representation, and you can choose not to join the union and just go out and do it on your own. And I think that's the kind of misinformation that's put out there, is that you have that choice, and once people realize that this is, has nothing to do with that, it just is a way to allow them to freeload and to weaken the power of unions and take away their ability to collectively bargain, I think that strikes at people's basic sense of fairness. And that's really the thing that bothers me the most, is this is just, it really is allowing people to take advantage of other people who've worked very hard to be able to achieve something. And now billionaires who've, you know, in the case of Dick DeVos, inherited his entire fortune, are out there making policy for the state of Michigan. It angers me.
Well, it angers a lot of people, and certainly there's been a lot of reporting, and not enough in my estimation, but there has been some reporting over the last few days that the DeVos family and the Koch brothers have been funding an effort to push right to work since 2007. And Representative Dillon, when you have all the money you could ever want and then a whole lot more, you can continue to sustain an effort like this over a five-year period of time and wait for the right opportunity as presented itself in 2010. And, you know, this idea, and I think what people are most angry about, and I think to put you in this category, is that the governor has been disingenuous. And in fact, many people, including myself, believe that he has been lying to us for the better part of 2 years or more.
Absolutely. I think he's been, I think the Free Press hit the nail on the head this week, and I wish they would have recognized this a little bit earlier. But, you know, the governor has, I will give him credit for one thing. He has been very shrewd at not tipping his hand about who he really is. But, you know, there's no doubt anymore that he's nothing but a partisan CEO political hack who takes orders from people like Dick DeVos and the Koch brothers. And, you know, he talked about how divisive the things that Scott Walker and John Kasich were doing. You know, he's gone above and beyond what they're doing. He's made it impossible to almost govern the state of Michigan going forward. And he's done it for no other reason than he takes orders from people who, as you said earlier, are billionaires who have the opportunity and the resources to just wait to strike when the iron's hot. And I just think it's, you know, it says a lot about him. He can't claim to be anything he ever was. You know, he's the only way he can call himself a nerd is that he's been allowed to be pushed around by a bully, and that's what happened.
I couldn't say it better myself. Representative Brandon Dillon is our guest. You know, from Grand Rapids, many would say that the birthplace of right to work in its modern form was born right there on the west side of the state in Grand Rapids. It doesn't really matter where the impetus came from. We are facing tomorrow some great challenges and great choices. As you know, there are thousands of people scheduled to be there. I will be there as well. And in fact, I'd like to invite you. We'll be doing our show live from State Representative Harvey Santana's office tomorrow if you'd like to come by and say hello and get on the air again. But there are thousands of people, Representative Dillon, that are heading there. Now, we want there to be civil disobedience, but we want people to be careful. We don't want violence, but we certainly want our voices heard.
Absolutely, and it was really shameful last week when the Republicans, who had been hatching this plan behind closed doors for probably about 10 days while publicly the governor was out there saying, no, we'll have a thoughtful discussion on it. Well, apparently a thoughtful discussion is locking people out who want to have their voices heard and only listening to the people who agree with you. So I am hopeful tomorrow that people will be respectful, but I certainly expect them to be loud. I expect them to be angry, and I expect them to want to have their voices heard. And I know my House Democratic colleagues and I are going to be sensitive to that. And if the Capitol is locked out again and people are unable to get in the gallery, I suspect we're not going to want to participate in a sham vote. It really is. You know, this is getting to the level of like third world banana republics when the entire legislative effort is choreographed right down to who is able to even watch the proceedings.
Well, you know, not to mention, and I'm glad that you bring this up, not to mention that many in your own caucus have not been allowed to express themselves. Of course, there was no public comment allowed, and there won't be public comments allowed. And I don't know that it would even make a difference, but Representative Brandon Dillon, when you talk to your Republican colleagues, and we were led to believe that some of them were really struggling with this choice. It was clear after the votes on Thursday that there wasn't much of a struggle at all.
No, I think there's some, you know, I haven't talked to a lot of them. I mean, the ones that I am closest to geographically, I think it was a foregone conclusion that they were going to vote for this no matter what, given that, you know, I think some of them actually believe in this. But be that as it may, no, and I think they had to twist a few arms, and there were some who, given their, you know, ability to vote the way they want, probably wouldn't have done this. But I think that speaks even more about kind of legislators they are. If you can't stick up for your constituents, if you can't do the thing that you know is right because you're getting pressure from people like Dick DeVos, and then to go even a step further and not allow even the other side to read the bills before they're introduced, offer any amendments while they're on the floor, and then shut off debate while we're trying to allow people to get in the Capitol to see what's going on. You know, we may not make a difference tomorrow. In all likelihood, this is going to pass. It's going to get signed by the governor. But, you know, this is not the end of this fight. It's just the beginning. There's a lot of people out there, I think, who have finally been woken up to the fact that this governor, this legislature, has had an agenda to try to break the backs, not only of organized labor, but of the middle class. And people, over the long run, are not going to stand for it.
All right, State Representative Brandon Dillon, my guest. Let's take a quick phone call here before we run out of time and welcome Dave to the show. Dave, thanks for punching in with us this morning. You are on the air with Representative Brandon Dillon.
Good morning and good morning, Representative. I'm Dave. I'm with the Communication Workers of America. And I just would like to add into this discussion, as people say, you know, this is a choice. People should be able to choose whether they want to be in a union or not. Well, right now they have that choice. They don't have to belong to the union. But everybody's forgetting this law allows that person who says, I don't need a union, allows that person who does not want to pay their fair share to reap all the benefits of the labor agreement. And not only that, federal law says the union has to represent this person. An arbitration case can cost between $10,000 to $25,000, $35,000. A union would have to represent that person who chose not to pay into the union. And that's not fair. The Republicans aren't saying, this governor isn't saying, if you don't want to be in a union, then you shouldn't live under that labor agreement.
Well, Dave, thank you so much.
I wanted to add that.
I appreciate that. Thanks so much for the call. Go ahead, Representative Dillon.
Well, I think that you strike right at the core of why this is so fundamentally unfair. There's the perception out there, I think, that the opponents of the right to work, we call it right to freeload, put out there is that you just get to make that choice, and then you can go and not be an at-will employee and strike the best deal on your own. And, you know, I heard Representative Shirky say this will make unions stronger by having to make their case. Well, what kind of case is it when an employee walks in and union comes up to them and says, here, we want you to join. Here's what you get, a collective bargaining agreement with higher wages and higher benefits. Workplace protections will represent you if you have a grievance, and it's going to cost you X of dollars a month. And then the person says, well, what do I get if I don't pay the $50 a month? Well, you get the collective bargaining agreement and all the benefits, the higher wages, the representation. It's not much of a choice for a lot of people. They're going to take the easy way out.
Absolutely. Let me, again, thank you for your passion and standing up for working people everywhere. I hope I get a chance to meet you tomorrow, Representative Dillon.
I'll look for you.
Thank you, Representative Brandon Dillon from the 75th House District in Grand Rapids. A quick break here, and we'll be back.
This is Anthony from First Shift wishing our audience a happy and safe holiday.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring,
drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Bureau Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off, than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
My name's Rachel, and I'm 10 years old. I like riding my bike, playing soccer, and in 8 years, I'll be an alcoholic. I'll start drinking in middle school, just at parties. My friends will drink, so I will too.
Kids who drink before age 15 are 5 times more likely to have alcohol problems when they're adults.
My parents won't really know what's going on yet. I mean, I'll do okay in school, but when I drink, I'll do some things I don't really want to do. So by the time my parents talk to me about it, alcohol won't be my only problem.
Alcohol affects their judgment and their future. So start talking before they start drinking.
My parents won't believe it could happen to me.
For more information on teens and alcohol, and to learn what you can do, visit the web at stopalcoholabuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and this station.
Some look up to the Man of Steel and others follow the lines in the web. But I look up to my real-life icon, my dad. And calling him anything less than great would be misguided. In his warm arms, I confided all of my fears. And as my time to hear others grows near, I'm reminded that women marry men just like their fathers. And I hope that's true. Anything less might as well not even bother.
A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative, the Ad Council, and this radio station. Visit fatherhood.org for more information. Have you been a dad today?
Is America truly the land of the free? When working families have to struggle to survive, are workers free to achieve the American dream?
The Teamsters Union is North America's strongest union. We fight for our 1.4 million members and all of America's working families. Teamsters are fighting for the rights of the middle class in Washington, in state capitals, in city councils, and most important, in the workplace.
The Teamsters Union is fighting for higher wages, better health care, safer roads and workplaces, a secure retirement for every working American. We're fighting for laws that level the playing field for working families.
The Teamsters Union is fighting to keep good jobs in America and to rebuild our economy.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to Wall Street elitists and vulture capitalists.
The Teamsters Union is standing up to politicians who want to take away the rights workers fought for over the past 100 years.
Connect with the Teamsters Union at Teamster.org, Facebook, and Twitter.
Join us in the fight to keep the American dream alive.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Let me give you a little background. Many of you know that listen to the program on a regular basis that my mom and dad, when I was a kid, were foster parents. We had lots of foster kids in and out of our house. There were 5 of us as it was, so it was always a lot of fun, and I do mean that. It was always a lot of fun when we had foster kids come through the house. Some of them would be there a very short period of time. Some of them, one was there for over 2 years. My sister and brother-in-law are foster parents and, in fact, have adopted 2 of their foster kids. But not every foster kid is that lucky, and sometimes you can languish in the foster care system, end up getting to adulthood or approaching adulthood without ever being permanently placed with a family. Have you ever asked yourself the question, what happens to those kids? What happens if they want to go to college or if they get into college, how they pay for it without having a family support structure? What happens when there's a holiday break or, You know, after finals are over with, where do these kids go, and where do they get guidance? Well, I'm happy to tell you there's a new program out there that is going to support quite a few of those kids. Let me turn my attention now to my next guest, and joining us is Steve Yeager. Steve is director of the Children Services Administration for the Department of Human Services here in the great state of Michigan. Steve, happy holidays to you, and welcome to First Shift.
Well, thank you, Tony. It's a pleasure to be here.
This is a good story, and we don't have a lot of good news this morning. So, thanks for bringing some sunshine with you. I appreciate it.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Did I lay that out properly? Do I pretty much have it right that sometimes these kids really just kind of fall in a no man's or no women's land?
Yeah, you did an excellent job of laying this out, Tony. Some of our foster youth, as they're coming into care at older ages and turning 18 and needing to move on to post-secondary education, don't have the supports that some other foster youth do who are able to be returned home, be adopted, or in permanent guardianships.
And I want to point out, it's not that these are troubled kids. There may be lots of reasons why they're in the situation that they're in, but certainly, especially if I'm in this situation, I am a foster kid. I dream of getting that college education, and that certainly should be something that should be available to anybody, no matter what circumstances you're born into. You're here to talk about a pretty wonderful program that has been given a nice $800,000 shot in the arm.
Yeah, absolutely. These are great kids. Some of these kids come into care at age 16 or 17, and they just don't want to be adopted at that point, and they really want to work toward independence. And so we're happy to develop a program to provide some additional supports. In 2008, we began to partner with Western Michigan University with the CETA Scholars Program. It's a great program that fully supports foster youth at that university. But a hallmark of that program is they provide campus coaches. These are folks that are on-site full-time to support foster youth and to provide them with the kind of supports that other youth, parents might do. They'll help them with things like education, working through the financial aid world of college, and we all know that's difficult at best. They'll help them with employment, housing. And as you mentioned earlier, Tony, they'll even help them with, what do we do over the break, over Thanksgiving break or Christmas break? They'll work to create housing situations, work to support them where they can stay on campus and have a good experience over the holidays. So just provide some great supports for these kids. So we took that model. We know it works. The foster youth at Western told us that it works and that they really like that support. And so we have executed grants with 7 universities across Michigan and $800,000 per year for a 3-year contract with an opportunity to extend that for 2 more years so that we can provide those same kinds of supports to foster youth and other universities across the state.
And Steve Yeager, it's not just great that this program's available. It's actually been wildly successful.
Absolutely. The youth at Western Michigan University have just reported tremendous success there. They've been able to maintain their work at the university in a manner similar to any other student there. And so these supports have just been critical to help them be successful in their educational experience.
For a moment, and you may or may not have this information, but have we studied at any level what happens to the kids that don't or can't be afforded this post-secondary opportunity when they approach adulthood? What happens to these, let's call them kids for the purposes of this discussion?
Yeah, I don't have any specific data in front of me, Tony, but we do know nationally that as kids age out of the foster care system without permanency, that they do experience difficulties with joblessness, homelessness, those kinds of issues. And we know that we need to really support this population of kids much more aggressively.
If I'm a foster kid or I'm a foster family and I'm listening to us this morning, Steve Yeager, how can I get more information about this program and whether or not it might be right for me or somebody in my charge?
We can certainly contact any of the 7 universities. It's Ferris State, Baker College at Flint, Michigan State University, Saginaw Valley State, University of Michigan Flint, Eastern Michigan University, Wayne State University, and of course Western Michigan University. So you can contact those universities and they will be happy to help you. You can also contact our department. we would be happy to assist anybody in connecting with these resources.
I just think that this is a fabulously important program, and for a lot of people, I would think Steve Yeager is, you know, they don't these are one of those things that people just don't think about, because for the majority of people, they're not connected to the foster care system, and so that this wouldn't necessarily be in their purview. And of course, this is nothing but a good news story. I love the fact that there is a dedicated staff member, full-time staff member, at that particular campus that is there specifically to provide guidance and mentorship. I would think that this is a critical component. Steve, I'm sitting here thinking about my own college career. Obviously, you had a college career. Can you imagine having done that without family?
Absolutely not. I mean, again, students report that just the financial aid piece is just, you know, really difficult for them to figure out how to do the FAFSA and the other financial pieces, and just things like, you know, what do you do in terms of living arrangement, housing, what do you do if you're sick, how do you navigate the medical community, just some of the basic things where parents normally would be there to support kids and provide that kind of safety net for them, they don't have that necessarily.
One of the things that I believe that is critically important, and again, whether it was when I was a kid or as I've gotten older and through the experience that my sister and brother-in-law have had in the foster care system, you know, a vast majority of these children truly just want to be validated, Steve Yeager. They want to know that that they're valued, that they have options, that life can be can afford them the same opportunities, and that's really what they're asking for, just to have access to opportunity. These are the vast majority of these young people, especially young adults, are do not have a victim's mentality. They just have a lack of support, and God forbid we don't give them these opportunities. This is really a gift. I begin to tell you how wonderful I feel this program is.
Yeah, you know, I think one of the key ingredients for any young person is they need to have hope. And, you know, our ability to come in and provide some support here helps provide them with hope for a future, and you know, we all need that.
Oh, there's no question. There's absolutely no question we all need hope. It's something we talk about a great deal about in this program, hope and faith, and again, the just access, just something as simple as access. Steve, I want to thank you for being with us today. I'm going to bet that you know, we've just given, a couple people a Christmas gift this morning, not realizing that this program is available. And this certainly, Steve Yeager, deserves a lot of publicity, because it's literally going to help hundreds of young adults find lives that some of them probably, Steve, never thought they'd have.
Absolutely, and I really want to thank you for the opportunity to be able just to talk about this today, and I want to thank you know, your sister and brother-in-law and your mom and dad for their part for stepping up and providing a home for kids. What a great thing that they've done.
You know, before I let you go, I will say this. If people have ever considered fostering, it is the most rewarding thing you will ever go through. And, you know, you really do, you can define how you want it to look. I want people to understand that. They know they're always looking for more homes in the foster care system. There will never be enough. But, folks, if this is something you're interested in, all you have to do is go online. You'll easily find it. Lots of support out there. Lots of, Steve, great training for people that want to foster. There are a few things more rewarding than fostering.
Absolutely. Go on our website. We always need good people to step up and provide a home either temporarily or permanently for these young people.
Absolutely. Steve Yeager, again, happy holidays to you, and thanks so much for being with us this morning.
Thank you, Tony. It was a pleasure.
I appreciate it. Let me just list off the schools again, or you can get a hold of the Department of Human Services. But the universities that are participating in this grant program, Michigan State University, Wayne State University, Baker College of Flint, Ferris State University, Saginaw Valley University, Eastern Michigan University, the University of Michigan Flint, and, of course, Western Michigan University, where it all started. Steve Yeager, thank you so much, and I want to thank everybody in the foster care system. I really don't think you understand, and that's okay. That's the whole point of what we do. We help educate you how important programs like this are to young people that wouldn't have opportunity any other way. This is a gift. A quick break here.
And we'll be back.
Hey, it's Joe, and I'm just hoping that all the listeners at First Shift have a great holiday season and carry it on to a happy new year.
On 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
This is Ron Scott. We're moving to 1130 AM WDFN. Join us on Sunday, January 6th, and each Sunday at 10 AM. We will keep fighting for justice on 1130 AM WDFN.
Today in the United States, labor is under siege. Unions are being assailed. In states like Wisconsin and Ohio, collective bargaining rights are being stripped away, and so-called right-to-work laws aim to eliminate unions entirely so companies can pay less or outsource jobs completely. As a result, you're being divided, and there's no one place for you to be heard, no one place to speak, no one place to stand together until now. Welcome to UnionCircle.com, an online community created specifically for union members. A place where 40 million active and retired union members, their friends, family, and supporters all across North America can be counted. UnionCircle.com provides a forum for members to interact and build a powerful voice. Union members can share their thoughts and opinions. Union locals can post news and announcements. People who run for public office and who stand with the unions can spread their message and rally union members. Because united we stand, united we vote. You'll also find union-friendly businesses that offer Circle members exclusive discounts, promotions, special offers, rewards, and coupons, all to help support America's workforce. And all UnionCircle.com members can create a call to action to make a real difference in their city, their jobs, and their lives. UnionCircle.com is the online community for anyone who believes in restoring the middle class and that the strength of this nation is in its workers. It's a website just for you. Will UnionCircle.com replace Facebook? Not at all. As a matter of fact, it's tightly integrated with both Facebook and Twitter. But while Facebook and Twitter connect you to family and friends and LinkedIn to professional contacts, UnionCircle.com is specifically designed to connect you with your fellow union members and to keep you plugged into union activity locally and nationally. It is the perfect site for all union members because America's unions have always known that there is power in numbers and strength in unity. Listen. Be heard. Take action. Now is the time. UnionCircle.com is the place. Get in the circle. UnionCircle.com.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. 7 o'clock on this Friday, the 6th. I am happy to bring my next guest on. Not only because we've got an important topic today, but as I announced the other day and put on Facebook yesterday, beginning next Friday, the Reverend D. Alexander Bullock will join our stable of regular guests. And, well, I don't really care what we talk about. He's just good radio. He's a good friend, and I feel just connected to him in a way that you want to share that with other people. So let us welcome back this morning the president of Rainbow Push Michigan and the president of the Highland Park NAACP, Reverend D. Alexander Bullock. Reverend Bullock, it's all as always a pleasure to have you with us this morning.
Tony T., good morning to you.
How are you, my brother?
I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I want to tell you I'm excited about being alive.
I know you are, which is why I'm so excited that beginning next Friday at 8 o'clock you will be with us on a weekly basis. I'm honored that you would even consider it, let alone say yes to that, and so I very much look forward to sharing you with this audience on a regular basis. I think that everybody is better served when Reverend Bullock is in the house.
Well, you know what, Tony, I appreciate that. I mean, I feel like I'm joining the Justice League. You know, I'm just happy to have been invited to be a part of the great movement that is the great radio that you do. You keep us engaged and informed, and we're excited about being on your show once a week and encouraging and inspiring people as well.
Absolutely. You were up in Lansing yesterday, Reverend Bullock. Why don't you tell my audience a little bit about what was going on up there?
Well, we went to Lansing actually a couple of times. Started on Tuesday, spent all day there Tuesday, and then went back yesterday because there is a situation now that we have repealed Public Act 4, as we expected, there are a lot of legal loopholes and maneuvering in place to try to circumvent the victory that we won by reinstating the people's will and protecting democracy. Specifically as it relates to the Detroit public school system and what is known as the Educational Achievement Authority, or the EAA. Now, many of your listeners may know that the EAA is a new statewide school district that has been created basically by the will of the governor that takes the lowest performing schools in Detroit and then eventually around the state of Michigan and moves them into a second statewide district. It was kicked off in Detroit with about 15 schools, and so its basis was basically the power that Public Act 4 gave the emergency manager. Now that Public Act 4 is gone, there is no legislative basis for the creation of a separate statewide school district that takes assets from the Detroit Public Schools, that takes students from the Detroit Public Schools, that has an experimental curriculum, an online computer curriculum, so it minimizes the role of teachers. And also in the wake of all of this, the attorney general and the emergency manager and the governor are saying that the elected school board of DPS were elected illegally, that in fact they are not elected representatives for the school board. And so we were in Lansing because they were trying to, are trying to put a bill in place now that will actually create a legal basis for the EAA. Although the EAA already exists in practice, it has no legal basis in the state of Michigan. And so we were there keeping our eye on that process, and we're beginning to organize now because this is just another attempt at state takeover, at taking away local control, at selling and seizing assets. And it is just a continuation of the fight against emergency management that we began many, many months ago.
Well, you know, and Reverend Bullock, as we discussed this in some detail with your friend David Hecker with the American Federation of Teachers Michigan yesterday, you know, one of the restrictions on this Educational Achievement Authority, and I want people to follow my line of thinking here. Let's say we're forced to close a school, and I don't care, in Midland. That school district has to maintain that building. They have to heat it. They have to repair it. They have to make sure that it's in working order. And if a for-profit school comes in and wants to buy it, they are forced to sell those assets without literally any competitive bidding, without any conversation, and without any legal footing to do that. They are forced to do it. And here's the problem, Reverend Bullock. We don't even know if the EAA is going to work.
Oh, not at all. I mean, this is experimenting with black and brown children at its worst. I mean, it reminds me of the worst kind of historical atrocities of government experimentation, like the Tuskegee experiment, where the federal government injected STDs into African-American males just to study them and see how it went. I mean, that was heinous, and you would think that the government would not be experimenting with people who were vulnerable. But, of course, the EAA has no track record. It's an experimental curriculum. The assets of the public school system can be seized, as you said, without any competitive bidding process. But more than that, you have a state mandated, if this legislation passes, basically the law will be that school districts have no decision-making power over whether or not their buildings and their students are seized by the EAA. And then also, who are the teachers in this new district? These are not typically teachers with long seniority. In fact, in Detroit, they're using Teach for America teachers, and so there are issues about collective bargaining and union busting. I mean, those issues remain with us. I mean, so on one hand, you've got the seizure of assets. You've got an anti-collective bargaining impulse as it relates to the employment. And then you've got an experimental educational curriculum where students are basically learning at a computer, and teachers are almost minimized or seen as useless. And so this seems to be setting our children and our district up for failure.
You know, it seems to me counterintuitive that if you are building a model of education that is a for-profit model, does that really serve what the foundational foundational principles of education are all about? Are we serving the child? Are we really empowering them with the right education? How do we attract the best and brightest teachers if we're more concerned about really attracting the best and brightest students? Because as we know, in these for-profit schools, they don't have to take developmentally challenged children. They don't have to take low-achieving children. They can pick and choose almost as if we're playing kickball on recess. The strongest ones get picked. The other ones have to go play somewhere else.
No, you're right. I mean, anytime you put profit over people, I think you have a problem. And when education becomes more about the bottom line than reading, writing, and arithmetic, then that's a recipe for disaster. You know, in the EAA, it was very, very interesting because as we were there listening to the deliberation in Lansing, they have a standard they're proposing where there won't be any grades or real hard assessment. All that will be happening with these students is that they will be tracked based upon the work that they do on a computer. And so what that means, Tony, is that if I'm reading at a first grade level and I'm in the third grade and I'm in the EAA, well, then there's no time period. There's no a real hard standard of accountability by which that district, that school, the school or the teachers have to improve my reading level. So if it takes me 16 months to improve my reading level from first to third, and I'm in the third grade, well, then that's okay. If it takes 6 months, that's okay. If it takes 9 months, that's okay. If it takes 48 months, that's okay. And so this seems to be a recipe for disaster. How can you prepare students for a competitive, globalized economy if you put them in a school district that has no standards to hold teachers and the district, the students and the parents accountable for learning and for learning development? If it's okay for me to take 48 months to be able to read, to write, and to do mathematics on the appropriate grade level, well, then I'm going to enter behind, I'm going to stay behind, and I'm going to leave behind.
All right, hold that thought. Hold that thought. We got to get to the break. Tony Truppiano wanting to wish all of you the happiest and most joyous of holiday season. Whether you celebrate the Christmas holiday or just celebrate the time of year, know that we here at First Shift care about you and wish you the very best.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020.
Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan.
Your future is waiting for you now.
Recently on First Shift.
Welcome, Tom in Detroit.
The one gentleman, the rich ultra-billionaire, that, as you call it, wasted $140 million, and it would have been better to give it to the poor. What do you think, where do you think that $140 million went? What happened to it? Did he just burn it? The money is spent on advertisement, hotels, anything to do. That money is spent. It put people to work. That money wasn't just, they didn't just burn it.
Oh, so now Sheldon Adelson's a job creator. That's what you're saying.
It sure certainly is.
First Shift with Tony Truppiano on 1310 WDEW.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671.
And we're back. Bob from Scranton, you're on the air.
Hi, Ted. Love the show. Long-time listener. First-time caller.
Thanks, Bob. Is there a special someone out there you'd like to talk about?
There is, Ted. I recently lost a very big part of my life.
You'd been together a long time?
Since college. This is for my belly, my paunch, my spare tire. I know we had some good times. God knows I'll never forget that night in Albuquerque with the burritos.
It's never easy to lose something that's been such a huge part of you, Bob. Where'd the magic go?
Well, I'd recently begun taking the stairs more and more instead of the elevator, and then we started seeing less and less of each other. One day, it was just gone.
Small step number 67. Take the stairs instead of the elevator or escalator. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to help you become a healthier, well, you. Get started at www.smallstep.gov and take a small step to get healthy.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
I started using drugs when I was 13 years old. I started with pot, like most people probably do, alcohol, cigarettes, and eventually moved up to methamphetamine and went on to cocaine and eventually ended up on heroin.
I did not have a life. I mean, I owned a multi-million-dollar advertising firm and I couldn't function. My husband packed the children and left. I had no idea where they were, but none of that mattered. All that mattered was smoking crack.
My parents and brother and sisters were just baffled. How can somebody that supposedly has so much be so miserable and keep throwing his life away?
And I remember my mother saying to me one day, "You're going to die if you don't get help." I wanted to have my life back and my family back. And that's when my mother found Narcanon.
If you or someone you love has a drug or alcohol problem, call Narcanon today at 1-800-468-6933 or visit us at www.stopaddiction.com.
My family found out I was on drugs. They were just terrified.
I mean, it got to the point where my mom couldn't even sleep if I wasn't home.
He did not know how to take control of his life. The drugs had done it.
I wanted to have my life back and my family back. And that's when my mother found Narcanon.
If you or someone you love has a drug or alcohol problem, call Narcanon today at 1-800-468-6933 or visit us at www.stopaddiction.com.
First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moodly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
22 minutes after the hour, my guest, Reverend D. Alexander Bullock, we are talking about House Resolution 6004, which would create and expand, actually not create, it would expand the Educational Achievement Authority. And as we spoke on the show yesterday and as we spoke on the show just in the last segment, you know, these are things, Reverend Bullock, that sound great. The Educational Achievement Authority, but what it really is a legalized way to, I guess, to enforce and to expand racism in our schools, because as we take a look at the bottom 5% of schools, most of them are in communities of color, unfortunately.
That's right. I mean, this is, let's call it what it is. It's a power grab by the state. It takes away local control. It disenfranchises the elected school board, and it ghettoizes the school system. Because basically what you do is you take the bottom 5% of Michigan students. We know those are going to be typically low-income brown and black students, and you lump them into an educational ghetto. We should not be, one, taking away the elected representatives that the people elected, namely the school board. Lamar Lemons is the president. There's a school board. We should not be disenfranchising the public school system, DPS, by taking 10 to 11,000 students out of DPS and creating another competitive statewide school district in addition to charter schools and private schools. We should not be experimenting on anybody's children with an educational curriculum and an educational model that has never been tested, that hasn't been tried. We don't know if it's going to be effective. But even more than that, we should not be creating an educational ghetto in Michigan where we lump all of the lowest performing students into a school district and basically say somehow they're going to be better off even though this district has no track record. But you know what, Tony, you know what I think is even more heinous than all of this? I think what's most heinous is that none of this really is about the students and about their families and about their neighborhoods. If a child has parents who are working, if a child has parents who are gainfully employed, if a child lives in a neighborhood that is stabilized, if a child lives in a city where there are recreational centers and recreational programs, if a child goes to the school, goes to a school district where there are computers and counselors and tutoring, and everything that's available to them to help them learn, then you don't, then they have what they need. You don't have to create a separate school district. Let's take the dollars that are being invested in experimenting on children and just invest them in the school districts that already exist and in the neighborhoods and cities that are already existing. Let's open up rec centers in Detroit. Let's get more counselors in the schools that are already in DPS. Let's get more computers in those schools. Let's have more teacher training. And let's just reinvest in the infrastructure that we already have.
Yeah, but see, the problem with what you're saying, and you know, appreciate the way I'm presenting this, is that what you're talking about is true educational reform. What they're talking about is strictly a business decision. And it doesn't look like those paths want to cross in the mind of the governor, in the mind of this legislature. I want to remind this audience that it's the governor of the state of Michigan that is pushing this. It's not the legislature this time. It's our governor. Our governor is trying to break the back of public education.
No, you're right. You're right. And I think the whole conversation about education reform, how do we improve education, how do we raise the level of educational achievement, you know, across the state of Michigan and the nation? You know, I mean, this is a conversation that the people, that the labor movement, that pastors, and other faith leaders and citizens, we need to really, really be engaged. I want to thank Helen Moore, who has been tirelessly fighting, Elena Harada, Lamar Lemons, and others, Reverend Ed Rowe, Maureen Taylor, so many activists, I mean, who have been on the front lines, who have not stopped. I want to thank the Michigan Citizen. I mean, they've been kind of covering, and not only covering, they've moved from covering to activism. And so we need more people to begin to look into the EAA. When we came together against emergency manager Tony, we fought back. They said we couldn't do it, and we won. But we won, but we're not done. They're still trying to take local control. They're still trying to seize assets. They're experimenting on our children in the name of education reform, busting unions, and at the end of the day, this cannot stand. So I want to applaud all of those freedom fighters who have been fighting, and I want to encourage people who are listening to me today on First Shift to get engaged. This is something we're ramping up for. This legislation has not been passed, and so we are in the middle of the fight even to stop legislation that would even authorize the EAA.
Yeah, this lame duck session is dangerous, no question about it. Let's go to the phones very quickly and welcome Tony and Macomb. Tony, you're on the air with the Reverend Bullock.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my call. Worst academic record in the country, 25% graduation rate, extreme budget deficit, and widespread corruption. The Detroit public schools have been failing the children for at least 15 years. If the local school boards and people like your guest were able to correct this problem, the governor wouldn't be involved. So how much longer are we going to allow this public school system in Detroit to fail these children?
Well, no, Tony, let me stop you for a second. I want to go back to 1999 where the people of the city of Detroit passed a millage that the state of Michigan took that money away from the city of Detroit. Did not allow that school board to spend that money. Governor Engler attached that money to the state budget, took that money away, and from that point forward, the school board's hands were tied. You can't solve problems without a budget. And this isn't, this is, the way to solve this problem is to not privatize the school, Tony.
Well, you know what, Tony? It works in other areas. You look at the DMC, Vanguard's come in and infused capital.
But that's not education. Education is not private business.
No, but listen, there are so many examples of private schools that are doing excellent academically because if they didn't, the parents wouldn't pay the money. We need to try something.
Ah, but see, that's the difference. Okay, Tony, thank you for your call. That's the difference. And here's the problem, Reverend Bullock. If I'm sending my child to a private school, and I have every right to do that, if I want to spend $20,000 or $30,000 or $40,000 a year out of my pocket to do, I have a right to do that. I don't have a problem with that. Now let's just get this. Go ahead.
No, that's right. I mean, two things. One, the Detroit Public Schools has been under attack under Engler. I mean, if you look at what happened under Burnley and Robert Bob, I mean, there's a whole history of the state of Michigan messing up the DPS. But more than that, what people fail to realize, and you make a great point, education is not a private corporation. This is about children. And you can't stabilize the educational system without dealing with the lives and the families and the neighborhoods that the children live in. If I live out in the suburbs and I go to a private school, $20,000 on my education, I come home, no potholes, I come home, there are police, there's fire, there are lights, there aren't drugs everywhere. I mean, that's a different kind of learning environment, both in the home and in the school. We must deal with the fact that state government has destroyed DPS and has also created the conditions to dismantle the very neighborhoods. And shipping jobs, which are trade policy, from Michigan to Mexico, attacking manufacturing and collective bargaining. And so if we don't get families employed, if we don't stabilize neighborhoods, if we don't respect elected representation, if we don't reinvest in the infrastructure, this will not stand. We're going to destroy the very future and the resource in the state of Michigan.
We are just out of time, Reverend Bullock. We'll look forward to having you on next Friday as our regular segment begins. Thanks for your time.
This is Kevin from First Shift wishing all of our listeners a safe and happy holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our...
NBC News Radio, I'm Barton. The weather conditions are making post-Christmas travel a mess today. Hundreds of flights have been canceled. Snow, sleet, and freezing rain will hit the upper Midwest, upstate New York, and sections of New England.
Blisters have been hopscotched across the deep south.
The Weather Channel's Jim Cantore is in Mobile, Alabama.
At the
hottest
last night, they estimated 25,000 customers without power. Alabama
Power has
been out all night
working on debris clouds to get people's lights back on. From this point on, it only gets colder as we get into the teeth of December.
The Christmas holiday is over for President Obama and members of Congress who have yet to agree on a package designed to avert higher taxes and automatic budget cuts in January. A new ban against electronic cigarettes goes into effect in New York State next week. It bans the sale to anyone under the age of 18. Egyptian President Mohamed Morsi has signed into law a new constitution shaped by his Islamist allies. This is NBC News Radio. The man who carried out a deadly ambush of firefighters on Christmas Eve in upstate New York left a chilling note. Webster, New York police say the note from 62-year-old William Spengler said he hoped to burn down his neighborhood and kill as many people as possible. Holiday retail sales are the weakest since 2008. NBC's Mariski Avacampo says it has been a shopping season disrupted by storms and rising uncertainty among consumers.
From the sights and sounds of malls around the country, shoppers took advantage of doorbusters, in-store bargains, and last-minute sales. While early numbers show the lowest growth in years, many still found a way to buy for everyone on their list.
Wall Street returns to trading today after the Christmas break. Investors are growing more concerned that a deal will not be reached in time to avoid the fiscal cliff. Stocks were up in Asia overnight. Russia's upper parliament has unanimously approved a bill that would ban Americans from adopting Russian children. It's a retaliation for a U.S. law. I'm Barton Eckert, NBC News Radio.
Have you heard? Proactive is America's number one acne system because it's fast and gentle, and it's all about prevention. So, stay tuned for a chance to participate in a 60-day trial to prove it. Do you have troubled skin? Acne? With Proactive, you can heal your acne and help prevent new breakouts. Right now, in this radio area, we're looking for just 50 people with moderate acne to demonstrate exactly how fast Proactive works. The first 50 callers who qualify can try Proactive 100% risk-free for 60 days. And we're giving away our amazing dark spot corrector, free and yours to keep, just for participating. With Dark Spot Corrector, it's like your breakouts were never even there. Be one of the 50 people to complete the 100% risk-free trial and get a free Dark Spot Corrector plus free shipping. Supplies are limited and free shipping ends soon. So call now, 1-800-243-6665. That's 1-800-243-6665.
The world's longest high-speed rail line is open for business starting today. Bullet trains traveling at 186 miles an hour began regular service between Beijing and Guangzhou, the main metropolis in southeastern Asia, or China. Travel time, 8 hours. The New York Times says older trains still in service on a parallel rail line take 21 hours. Amtrak trains from New York to Miami, a shorter distance, still take nearly 30 hours. After disappointing Wall Street performances for some big web startups, venture capitalists are backing away from the sector. The Wall Street Journal says sinking stock prices for Facebook, Zynga, and Groupon have financiers cutting off spending on consumer internet companies. It's been a losing proposition. Shares of Groupon have plunged about 80% since the first of the year. But hey, after two losing efforts, Wall Street may get back to work after the holiday break with some early gains. S&P futures adding 3 points right now. NASDAQ ahead by 4. Dow futures in the plus column by 25. I'm Steve Podesk in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
As a small business owner, you've probably heard how Constant Contact helps small businesses grow with email marketing. And you may be asking, could it really work for me? Well, consider this. Every dollar small business owners spend on email marketing puts $40 back in their pockets. So it's no surprise that 2 out of 3 of them plan to invest more in email this year. Now you may be asking, how can I get a piece of that action? Simple. Just visit ConstantContact.com to start your free email marketing trial today.
Shaquille O'Neal for Icy Hot.
If you've got pain, you need the patch.
The Icy Hot Patch. Powerful, targeted, fast-acting pain relief that stays put without the mess. Icy to dull the pain, hot to relax it away. In a variety of sizes, from back, shoulders, knees, even arthritis. So you're covered whenever and wherever you hurt. Stop pain right at the source with Icy Hot Patches.
Pain's no match for the Icy Hot Patch.
For temporary topical pain relief, use only as directed.
Dear Honda, thanks for the killer deal you got my mom on the Honda Odyssey during the Happy Honda Day sales event. The rear view camera means mom's actually got eyes in the back of her head, like she's been claiming for years. Also, she saved a bunch of money, which means there should be no excuse when it comes time for my birthday gifts. Plural. Sincerely, Mommy's Little Princess.
More happiness and standard features with every Honda during the Happy Honda Day sales event. Get a great deal on the 2013 Odyssey with standard features like a rear view camera. Visit your Honda dealer today.
Imagine your favorite cigarette. Now, imagine it without the smoke and cigarette smell. Introducing the Enjoy King, the first electronic cigarette with the look, feel, and flavor of the real thing. Finally, smokers have a real alternative. New Enjoy King. Cigarettes, you've met your match. Available at participating 7-Eleven and Sheets stores. Not for sale to minors. Contains nicotine, which is addictive.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
I've got plenty of problems to solve. Joining me now is one of my favorite people. Mike Thompson from the Detroit Free Press is the editorial cartoonist and blogger. And well, we're here to talk about that and a whole lot more. Mike, happy holidays to you. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, happy holidays to you, Tony, and to all your listeners, too.
What an interesting commentary. You did a great cartoon, editorial cartoon recently in the Freep, and it says top CEOs have launched a campaign to combat what they see as excessive spending on the social safety net. And we've got it. If we don't have it posted to Facebook, we will, because I'm not going to be able to give it justice. But the cartoon, the balloon in the cartoon is, I'm launching a campaign to combat excessive spending on first aid and fire extinguishers. Sweet God, Mike, where's the disconnect here?
You know, the cartoon itself was about this, the campaign to fix the debt. And I think this is an outfit that your readers are really going to want to pay attention to as the debate over the so-called fiscal cliff turns forward. It was started this past summer by Alan Simpson, the Republican senator from Wyoming, and Erskine Bowles, the Democrat from North Carolina. And I think you remember them from the Erskine Bowles presidential commission to fix the debt that blew up and went nowhere. And it started out without a lot of fanfare, but since it's enlisted the support of some pretty major hitters in the business world. And if you go to the Fix the Debt website, the CEO Fiscal Leadership Council includes names like, Richard Anderson, the CEO of Delta Airlines, Steve Ballmer, CEO of Microsoft, Lloyd Blankenfein, CEO of Goldman Sachs, Jamie Dimon, CEO of J.P. Morgan Chase and something. J.P. Morgan Chase. And I've read that they have about, this Fix the Debt organization has about 80 CEOs backing their agenda. So you might ask, why are all these CEOs climbing on board? And the Institute for Policy Studies, they released a report that summed up Fix the Debt as a quote, business-driven initiative using the so-called fiscal cliff as cover for tax changes that would damage our economy. They called it, a Trojan horse for massive corporate tax breaks.
Because we need that. God knows that solves the problem. We had a conversation yesterday, and it spilled over onto our Facebook page throughout the day yesterday and then onto the show today. This idea that there are entitlements that need to be cut. You heard me say in the introduction before I brought you on that one of my listeners says we need to start framing that a little differently. These are earned benefits. And they are, Mike, earned benefits. This idea that we'll somehow balance the budget by slashing Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid, all the while leaving the most needy people in our country behind, and the disrespect that shows to generations of Americans that fought and literally died for the freedom that we currently enjoy, that somehow we need to penalize the middle class and those living in poverty, to continue to penalize them for just trying to live a decent and satisfied life. Mike, where have we gone wrong?
That's a tough question. And here's the maddening thing about Fix the Debt. The cuts in Social Security that they are proposing aren't about balancing the budget. CNN Money looked at their proposal, and they broke it down into three areas. They said, one, the first thing that the Fix the Debt crowd is calling for is that they want the repatriation of foreign profits. They want to be able to take the profits that they've earned overseas and bring them back here into this country. And the second point they brought up was that they want to extend the Bush tax cut. And the third point they brought up was how they propose to pay for all of this. Do you care to hazard a guess as to how they propose to pay for all of this?
I want to guess somehow taxing the middle class.
No, cutting Social Security, Medicaid, and Medicare.
All right, but here...
This isn't even about balancing the budget. This is about finding a way to cover the cost of yet another round of massive tax cuts for those at the top.
At what level, before we get to the phones, at what level do people not understand that Social Security doesn't affect our debt?
Yeah, it's funded by the payroll tax. And, when you have $60 million in the bank and can, say anything you want, you can confuse a lot of people.
And they've done a very, very good job of that. All right, we're going to go to the phone. Folks, if you'd like to join us, 888-552-3595. My guest again, Mike Thompson, editorial cartoonist and blogger for the Detroit Free Press. You can, of course, find everything he does at freep.com. Stephen Monroe joins us now. Happy holidays to you, my friend. What's on your mind?
Merry Christmas to you, Tony, and hi to Mike.
Hello.
I got to admit, Tony, I'm kind of frustrated. Again, going back to these quote-unquote entitlement programs, you're entitled to the money that you paid into these programs. No question there. The bigger question is, are you entitled to more than you paid in? Or you can even stretch it, are you entitled to less? You know, and the fact is that most people that are getting Social Security or getting Medicare payments are getting more out than they paid into the system. When you have something like that, that is an entitlement, Tony, and that's just how it is.
No, that's not just how it is, Steve. I'm still going to go back to earned benefits. Thanks for the call, Steve. You know, Mike, I'm going to let you comment on that, but it seems to me that if I'm paying into something I don't control the cost of, and that cost continues to increase, well, that's not my fault, and I should not be penalized because whoever the powers that be can't seem to rein that cost in. Is that really the obligation of the consumer to have to then at some point say, well, listen, you legitimately, you know, we take a look at what you did. You really only paid 63% into what you're going to get out of it. So we're only going to pay 63%. That wasn't the promise that was made, Mike Thompson.
Yeah, you're right. It's sort of like having homeowner's insurance, right? I mean, if your home burns down, it's going to cost several hundred thousand dollars to replace, perhaps. Now, you haven't paid several hundred thousand dollars in insurance over the time you've had your home. But, you know, there's a very easy fix for the Social Security problem, and that is to raise the cap from $106,000. Right now, everyone in America pays Social Security tax, the payroll tax, on their first $106,000. After that, any income is not taxed on that through the Social Security tax. So, I mean, if we want to solve Social Security, we raise that limit to, I don't know, $250,000, and the problem's solved.
And it really is solved. Mike, how many years have we been having that argument? Listen, we're going to put this squarely on both political parties. This isn't a Republican problem or a Democrat problem. This is a political problem. They ignore it.
Yeah, I sense your frustration. I completely agree.
I understand, and let me just read your words. This is from the blog at the Free Press. It says, balancing the budget is going to require a combination of spending cuts and tax increases. It's going to be painful, and nobody's going to emerge happy. But we should begin the process by requiring sacrifice from those with means who are in a financial position to make a sacrifice. That is pure common sense, and maybe that's the problem, Mike Thompson. Maybe you're just being too logical.
Well, I doubt that, but it really is maddening when you talk about the people who are most able to make the sacrifice. And the topic of the blog post was fix the debt, and these guys aren't talking about sacrifice. They're talking about getting even more. They want to extend the Bush tax cuts. They want to be able to repatriate profits that they've earned overseas and bring them back into the country tax free. And so the organization, it talks about debt reduction, but it sounds more like a way for CEOs to just use their wealth and influence to their advantage.
Sounds like an entitlement, doesn't it, Mike Thompson?
Amazing. It certainly does.
Yeah, Mike, stay with us. We've got to take a quick break. Stay with us. We'll come back and continue our conversation. Mike Thompson, the editorial cartoonist, award-winning editorial cartoonist and blogger with the Detroit Free Press, is my guest. 888-552-3595. We'll be back.
This is State Representative Thomas Stallworth, the 7th Legislative District, and I just want to wish everyone a happy, happy holiday.
Seducing teen girls online is easy. A lot of them feel so lonely and misunderstood. I don't even need to lie about my age. They're just glad they're talking to someone
older I can trust. They're more mature than the guys at my school and understand me better than other
teen girls are very trusting. You just have to tell them they're beautiful and special, and you can wear down whatever suspicions they have.
Have an understanding of real love. It's not all about looks. They know that doesn't matter when you're totally in love.
Love is the final piece of the puzzle. They believe anything I tell them because
I don't see why you shouldn't meet someone you totally trust. I mean, if someone really cares about you, there's no danger in
meeting them. No matter how long it takes, is always the goal. Once I get them to meet me, well, that's when things get really interesting.
Online predators know what they're doing. Do you?
1 in 5 kids online is sexually solicited. Don't believe the type. Visit cybertipline.com to learn more.
A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
He would come home after a hard day and just start in on me, you know, like, hey, how's your day? How was school? What you got going on? I mean, it gave me the chills.
My father would drive me all the way to the mall. He wouldn't stop until we were right in front of my friends. And oh my God, when...
I wanted to go to Europe, and he seriously made me get a job to pay for it. And that one time...
He insisted on taking us to the movies, even though he knew Stephen totally worked there and I was totally in love with him. And
the time I got this wicked, cool scorpion tattoo on my shoulder... Not even the whole arm, just the shoulder. And he grounded me for 2 weeks. 2 weeks! And oh yeah.
When I wanted to major in ceramics, because I'm like way good at it, my dad told me I'd have to pay my own tuition. Like, duh. How am I supposed to earn that kind of dough making pottery?
Embarrass them. Horrify them. Freak them out. Don't worry. They'll appreciate it. Eventually. A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council. Have you been a dad today? For more information, visit fatherhood.org.
The following letters were written by our troops.
My dear fellow Americans, I truly appreciate your support. I was starting to wonder if people had forgotten about us over here, but then one of my buddies showed me this website, and now as tears are streaming down my face, I can see for sure that you haven't. Private Emily B., U.S. Army.
It's so heartwarming to see the American people not letting the men and women of the armed forces be forgotten. Your letters make a group of grown men, battle-hardened and gruff, act like a bunch of kids around a Christmas tree. Thanks. Staff Sergeant Matthew H., U.S. Army.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
Sergeant Matthew Kyle was on his second tour in Iraq when injured.
I was shot in the neck by an Iraqi sniper while on combat patrols.
As a quadriplegic, Sergeant Kyle will require specialized medical care and benefits for the rest of his life. That's where Paralyzed Veterans of America can help. National Service Officer Bobby Hager explains.
A National Service Officer exists solely to help veterans get their benefits. We're able to fill out all of the forms and applications and ask for all of the benefits that that veteran's entitled to.
Matthew's wife, Tracy Kyle.
We don't have the knowledge to go through this by ourselves. And these benefits are going to take you through the rest of your life.
If you don't ask for a benefit, the VA can't give it to you. The veteran doesn't know what to ask for.
We could not have done this journey without the Paralyzed Veterans of America.
Paralyzed Veterans is an independent, not-for-profit organization founded by vets for vets.
To help, visit pva.org.
Don't stop. From the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, I'm Ira Dreyfuss with HHS HealthBeat. Whatever happened to good old-fashioned play? As we grow up, being physically active often changes somehow from playing to exercising. Play is fun. Exercise, well, for many of us, that's not fun. And without play, we quit being active, so we get out of shape and start gaining weight. But new reports call on us to be physically active for the sake of our health, so what can we do? At the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports, Executive Director Melissa Johnson says it's simple. Get on your walking shoes and go for a walk, or do something else you enjoy.
A lot of sedentary or deconditioned people haven't yet experienced the good feeling of just movement. And once that becomes familiar to them, they don't want to stop.
Federal officials recommend 30 minutes of moderate activity on most, if not all, days of the week as a minimum for good health. HHS HealthBeat is a production of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. I'm Ira Dreyfuss.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hey, I am Tony Trupiano. Mike Thompson with me. He is the award-winning editorial cartoonist and blogger for the Detroit Free Press. We're talking about an initiative funded to the tune of $60 million from CEOs who are looking for a $134 billion tax break. I'm going to tell you, if we were to kind of frame this as a family, mama and daddy didn't raise you to be this way. This would be evil behavior, and you'd all get grounded if you acted this way in your own homes. Yet here they are. And Mike, as you pointed out in the blog post, these are people that are saying that, fixing Social Security somehow solves our debt problem, which we've already determined it doesn't do. They're the same CEOs that have fattened their own pensions and underfunded their own retirement accounts for their employees. I mean, the hypocrisy here is overwhelmingly offensive.
Yeah, and it's not just that. I mean, these are the same CEOs whose companies benefit mightily from defense contracts and, you know, a whole list of other government programs, and they're not talking about cutting any of that. The real focus of Fix the Debt is to go after the so-called entitlements, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, as a way not to fix the debt, but to basically offset the cost of you know, another corporate tax break.
You know, it seems to me that we continue to have the wrong conversation. Mike, last week on the program, we did a segment with the Michigan League for Public Policy on some nonpartisan numbers that showed that the wealthy are certainly getting wealthier. The poor are getting poorer, and the middle class is legitimately shrinking. These are not made up numbers. These are not my liberal mind playing tricks on me. This is the reality of what's happening in this country. I do agree we have some serious issues that we need to resolve. I also agree that it's going to take sacrifice from everybody. But let's talk about, you know, the 98%, 95% of the country that has continued to sacrifice. And what do they get for it? They get penalized. They get criticized. Look what Mayor Bing did yesterday on CNN, Mike Thompson. He talks about, you know, employees of the city that have an entitlement mentality, and that the only way to solve the problems is to, you know, force people to move closer to the center of his universe. The disconnect here, again, it continues to be offensive, but we can't solve problems if we can't have a real discussion about everyone paying whatever that fair share is. And, you know, some of these CEOs with Fix the Debt have said that they would be willing to pay more, but I don't think we're ever going to agree on a definition of fair share.
Yeah, you know, and I think what makes the, you know, just when you take a step back and look at deficit reduction, what makes it so maddening is we just had an election, all right? The American people spoke, and they elected President Obama. And President Obama was not vague about what he wanted to do. He was very clear about the fact that he wanted to end the tax cuts for the top 1%. And yet here we are less than 1 month later, with the masters of the universe. They actually had a meeting this week with Obama in the White House, and they met with congressional leaders as well. And here they are trying to, you know, relitigate, if you will, the results of the election and what the American people said they wanted when they reelected President Obama.
Yeah, I'm going to continue to use the word disconnect because there is a disconnect. I'm continually watching what both sides are saying. The Republicans continue, Mike Thompson, to insist that they have some kind of, psychic intuition about what the American people have really said as opposed to what they really did say. I suggested, and I know you get your fair share of hate mail, Mike. I know you do, because you're being honest, and people don't like honesty. I said on the show day before yesterday that as borrowing is at a historic low, that we should finish what we started in Obama's first term. Let's go out and let's start rebuilding our communities. Let's do our infrastructure. Let's build our energy grid. Let's go out and borrow the money and do that now. Let's take a little that would be painful, but it would pay off. It's an investment. It would put people back to work. It would be a revenue creator for the government. I'm telling you, almost death threats from saying that.
Yeah, you know, normally in a capitalist society, and, you know, I'm a dyed-in-the-wool capitalist, but you would expect the business community to be creating jobs and growing the economy. I mean, after all, they've gotten tax cuts for 30 years now. They're sitting on a pile of cash, $2 trillion, but they're not spending. They're not, creating jobs. And if they're not going to create jobs, and if, you know, these tax cuts aren't going to pay off as promised, well, what do we do to grow the economy? You know, it's sort of similar to the same criticism of Obama's stimulus plan. I mean, if Obama hadn't stepped in, we were losing 800,000 jobs a month. I mean, you know, think about the consequences.
You know, it's interesting. Senator Debbie Stabenow that puts before the Senate not that long ago, 3-4, maybe 5 months ago, a bill that said that if we allow corporations to repatriate their profits, their foreign profits, for a tax break. Now, it wouldn't be a free tax break, but it would be a tax break that we would allow them to do that. But in return for that, they would have to create jobs. Republicans turned that down. They turned it down. They flat refused. They filibustered it is what they did. So anytime we have an idea that maybe makes a little bit of sense, it's got to be attached with this ideology that you just said it perfectly, Mike Thompson. We just had an election, and the electorate spoke and said, you know what, we don't want to play the game the way you folks play it anymore. You're right. President Obama didn't hide what he was looking to do. He was actually quite progressive in this campaign, and America voted for progressive change. I'm tired, Mike. I need to see change.
Yeah, I think you're not alone. But, I think there was a glimmer of hope after the election that, okay, the message has been sent to, you know, the obstructionists in the Republican Party that the American people are pretty tired of it. And, you know, we're not weeks out from the results of that election, and it's already starting back again.
Yeah, well, it is already starting to be kicking because God knows 3 weeks is just too much time, before we have to. Well, we're not going to solve all these problems today. I do appreciate you pointing this out. I'm glad I'm not getting your email because mine's intense enough, but I'm sure you're getting some doozies. In the meantime, Mike, we'll have you back on soon. Everything's posted up on the Facebook page. Go check it out. Mike, if we don't talk to you before the holidays, have a Merry Christmas, and I appreciate your time this morning.
Hey, sure, of course, Tony, and Merry Christmas to you and to all your listeners, too. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Mike Thompson, award-winning editorial cartoonist and blogger for the Detroit Free Press. Quick break here.
Hi, this is Gilda Jacob, CEO of the Michigan League for Public Policy. I want to wish everybody a happy and safe and wonderful holiday season.
The following letter was written by Technical Sergeant Jerry G., U.S. Air Force.
I've just finished reading over some of the correspondence you've sent us over here. And for an old dog like me, I was choked up. Thanks to each and every one of you. You're the reason why I have proudly put on the uniform of the American forces, to serve folks like you, those we all love and honor, and those who do not have what we have, but who are willing to stand next to us and fight for their own freedom as well. So the next time you see one of my brothers or sisters in arms, shake their hands or pat them on the back. Tell them you support them. This is what we cherish more than anything.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. But don't take our word for it. Take theirs. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
Ew! It stinks in here.
Passing gas. Is there a right time and a wrong time to do it?
Come on, huh? I'm trying to eat.
When indoors in the company of others, passing gas is not only taboo, it can be deadly.
I'm gagging.
Passing gas releases a plume of toxic vapors like ammonia and hydrogen cyanide.
Oh, you're killing us over here.
Every year, hundreds of infants exposed to passed gas die.
What? I cracked a window?
And just opening a window isn't enough. These deadly fumes can linger in the room for hours after odors have dissipated.
Daddy, you promised you'd smoke outside.
You're right, Pumpkin. Excuse me.
If you smoke, take it outside. Don't pass gas. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Get the facts at don'tpassgas.org.
Meeting teen girls online is easy. All you really have to do is go into a chat room and start talking. Once we start chatting, I act as cool as possible. The more we chat, the more they trust me. When they send their picture, I tell them how hot they are. After I convince them we're soulmates, I ask to meet in person. Once that happens, well, that's when things get really interesting.
Online predators know what they're doing. Do you?
1 in 5 kids online is sexually solicited. Visit cybertipline.com. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
Attention swimmers! Get out of the water! Everyone, out of the water immediately!
Dude, that? It's a pair of thunder thighs. Big ones, too. That mom who's been swimming a lot with her kids must have lost them.
Whoa. I heard about this happening once up at Laguna.
Small step number 54. Play with your kids. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The odds of this Alaskan-born pitcher being selected to the Major League Baseball All-Star Game 6 times? 1 in 48 million. The odds of this fastballing philanthropist winning the World Series 3 times? 1 in 3 million. The odds of this man having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. Hi, I'm Kurt Schilling. Learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The following letter was written by Petty Officer Eric C., U.S. Navy Reserve.
Thank you for all your support. As we endure some of the toughest times in our lives, it's comforting to know that you are here, alongside us in spirit. It gives me a sense of pride that can't be explained, only felt. And I would have never felt it had it not been for all of you.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
You! It stinks in here.
Passing gas in the company of others is not only taboo, it can be deadly.
I'm gagging.
Passing gas releases a plume of toxic vapors like ammonia and hydrogen cyanide.
Oh, you're killing us over here.
Daddy, you promised you'd smoke outside.
You're right, Pumpkin. Excuse me.
If you smoke, take it outside. Don't pass gas. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Get the facts at don'tpassgas.org.
Welcome back. 6 minutes after 9. I'm getting lots of emails this morning from listeners that were thrilled to see the name Brian Dickerson on my guest list this morning. Well, he is my next guest. He's award-winning columnist with the Detroit Free Press. He is, and every time he writes, stop for me. He's been with us before. I would like to get him on more often, and perhaps we'll do that. But he recently wrote a piece that really got my attention. It's titled Court Bids a Farewell to Library Arms Ban. And we welcome Brian Dickerson to First Shift this morning. Brian, thanks so much for making some time for my audience today.
Good morning, Tony. Thanks very much.
I really appreciate it. Listen, this is a really interesting story. And when I read it, the first thing that really came to my mind is activist judges. Does that phrase make sense to you in regards framing it with this piece?
Well, that is what motivated me to write about it. The notion that people are emboldened to carry weapons, both openly and concealed weapons in Michigan now is not a new one. But what struck me about this decision was it seemed to me that a couple of judges, including one conservative Republican, Henry Saab, noted for his sort of textualist approach to the law, I thought had expanded the coverage of the law beyond what the legislature had authorized. And so it was the court's reasoning and tactics in getting to this decision that really interested me.
Well, you know, it's fascinating. Listen, I'm not anti-Second Amendment, and by no measure am I anti-Second Amendment. I certainly believe in a right to bear arms, and I don't have a problem with that. But I do believe, Brian, that there are certain places where perhaps they're just not appropriate. And the Capitol Area District Library felt that, it wasn't appropriate to have them in libraries. I don't think it doesn't seem like it would be a tough conversation to have, does it?
Well, it might be a very tough conversation to have in the Michigan legislature, but the fact is that the law that precludes local units of government from legislating their own restrictions on firearms pretty plainly does not apply to the kind of library board that was at issue here. I have to say that as laws go, this one was drafted pretty carefully, and that they said what they wanted to do. They wanted to preclude local units of government from restricting, passing laws and ordinances restricting firearms. And then, as good legislators do, they defined exactly what they meant by local units of government. And they said that they meant it to include counties, cities, townships, and villages. And the problem is that the library board here is none of those. It's not a political unit. It's a consortium established by multiple municipalities and counties, and it has an independent board, and they chose not to allow weapons in the library. The lone dissenting judge said it was pretty clear that the law as written did not apply to library boards, but the majority disagreed.
You know, it's interesting because I certainly took a look at that dissenting opinion, and it was because when I read your piece, I thought, well, you know, the way you wrote about it gave me reason to believe that, is it Gleicher? Is that the proper way to say her name, Judge Gleicher?
Right.
You wrote, let me just read what you wrote. Court of Appeals Judge Elizabeth Gleicher, who disagreed with her colleague's 2-1 decision to strike down the CADL's weapons ban, argues persuasively that the statute that forbids local units of government from regulating firearms doesn't apply, even apply to district libraries like CADL. Okay, well, that makes sense. I read her opinion. It was beautifully laid out. It was easy to understand. It wasn't full of a lot of legal speak. And so all of a sudden I'm thinking that's where the activist judge thing, Brian, kind of kicked into my mind. And, you know, I am a little concerned. We have a very conservative legislature right now. There are lots of things happening that have created great pause in my world. I mean, listen, I'm a liberal Democrat. I proudly wear that label. But I try to step outside myself, Brian, from time to time and say, wait a minute, let's measure and weigh appropriately. You know, maybe this makes sense in the context of a certain discussion. This one doesn't make sense. I can't think of a legitimate reason to overturn the lower court's ruling. But indeed, there was at least an activist judge that did. Now, there were two that, of course, voted to overturn the lower court decision here. I don't believe this, though, will be challenged, Brian. Do you?
You don't think the ruling will be appealed?
Yes.
That's interesting. It may be. And Elizabeth Gleicher, although she was appointed by Jennifer Granholm, I think has kind of defied easy categorization as a liberal or conservative. What I will say is I think she's recognized by judges at both ends of the ideological spectrum as a good and careful lawyer. And the Supreme Court, including the Republican Supreme Court, has many times voted to uphold decisions or to uphold dissents in which she was in the minority. So I'm not sure what judges who sincerely believe that you look first to the strict language of the statute, and if that clearly answers your question, everything else about every other guess you might make about what the legislature really intended is irrelevant.
Well,
so I can imagine it being appealed, and I can imagine a conservative Michigan Supreme Court upholding Judge Gleischer's minority view.
Well, I like the way you think. Now, here's, to me, the brilliance. It's a simple paragraph, but, again, let me quote from your column again that's entitled Court Bids a Farewell to Library Arms Ban. By the way, we'll be posting this to Facebook so people can read it. But, Brian, this is what you wrote. But judges aren't supposed to support or oppose any public policy. They're supposed to enforce the laws the legislature adopts, however dunderheaded, unless lawmakers exceed their constitutional authority. Clearly, they did not exceed their constitutional authority with this law.
Well, I don't think anybody is arguing that, and certainly I would not want to try to make that argument before this state Supreme Court. I might also say that if the legislature, you know, went back into session tomorrow and decided they wanted to make it clear that libraries were among the local units of government that are precluded from legislating their own firearms restrictions, I think they have every constitutional authority to do that. It's simply the case that they haven't done that yet, and it's not up to the court to decide that that's what they meant.
Well, you also enlightened me as to another organization that I wasn't previously aware of. So thank you for the education. It's an organization called Michigan Open Carry. And what really got stuck in my call, Brian Dickerson, was this, that the organization that works to, quote, educate and desensitize the public and the law enforcement community about the legality of the open carry of handguns in public. Desensitize is really an interesting word.
Well, it is, and it's their word, and I've talked to members of the organization about it. Their view is simply that you and I and everybody else in Michigan is surrounded all the time by people who are carrying firearms, concealed firearms openly, and that we ought not to worry about it, that it not only does not threaten our security, but makes us safer. That's their view. And in their view, they will have achieved an important victory when people, when you can walk into a grocery store or movie theater or library and see lots of people carrying weapons and think no more about it than if they were carrying iPads or cell phones. So desensitization is exactly what they want. They want to normalize the phenomena of people carrying weapons in plain sight in public places.
All right. Brian, stay with us. We need to take a very quick break here. Come back, and we'll wrap up this conversation on the other side. Brian Dickerson, again, my guest, award-winning journalist and columnist with the Detroit Free Press. Column again entitled Court Bids a Farewell to Library Arms Ban. It's up on the Facebook page if you'd like to read it. I would recommend you do that. Come back. We'll wrap this conversation up on the other side.
This is Mark Brewer, chair of the Michigan Democratic Party. On behalf of the Michigan Democratic Party, I want to wish everyone a safe and happy holiday season.
On 1310 WDTW.
This is Ron Scott. We're moving to 1130 AM WDFN. Join us on Sunday, January 6th, and each Sunday at 10 AM. We will keep fighting for justice on 1130 AM WDFN.
The results indicate your child has neuroblastoma.
There's evidence of metastasis.
We need to schedule a bone marrow.
We'll need to perform a surgical biopsy.
After you hear your child has cancer, chances are you don't hear anything else. CureSearch.org connects you to the most comprehensive research and advice on childhood cancer and to other families who know exactly what you're going through. CureSearch.org. You're not as alone as you feel. Brought to you by CureSearch and the Ad Council.
Dad, can I ask you something?
Sure.
There's this girl I kind of like.
Say no more.
You just have to impress her. Okay, but how?
Just, I don't know, pick up a lot of heavy things around her.
Like what?
You know, desks, chairs, people. Grunt if you have to.
Grunt?
Yeah, be like, There you go.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Well, AISI, it was NBD.
You don't know what your kids are saying online or who they're saying it to. A lot of times, neither do they. Last year, 1 in 5 children was sexually solicited online. To protect your kids' online life and to get a full list of acronyms kids are using, call 1-800-THE-LOST or visit cybertipline.com. Help delete online predators. A message from the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children and the Ad Council.
Hey, Dad.
What?
I can't get the ketchup bottle open.
Here, let me try. There you go.
Thanks.
You don't have to be a hero to be a hero. When you adopt a child from foster care, just being there makes all the difference. To learn more, call 1-888-200-4005. A public service announcement brought to you by Adopt US Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Let's sing that new song.
My music track from the Golden Jack plays MP3s that I download fast. I read the bits on the microchip. Chips, and I burn on my favorite hits.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in technology, but parents can help keep them updated. Go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
My name's Tyler, and in 9 years, I'll be an alcoholic. I'll start drinking in middle school, just at parties. But my parents won't start talking to me about it till high school.
Kids who drink before age 15 are 5 times more likely to have alcohol problems when they're adults.
Thing is, my parents won't even see it coming.
So start talking before they start drinking. To learn more, go to StopAlcoholAbuse.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Ad Council, and this station.
2 out, last of the ninth, bases loaded. Here's Santos. He's 0-for-4 today, .269 hitter for the year.
We could be going into extra innings here.
I agree. Here's the pitch to Santos. Fastball hit in the air, deep down the left field line. It's headed toward the pole. That ball is...
Please deposit 25 cents for the next 3 minutes.
Radio. You shouldn't have to pay for it. This message brought to you by America's 13,000 local radio stations who believe some things were just meant to be free.
I go to school with your children. We say the Pledge of Allegiance together. I'm 1 out of every 4 children in America, and I'm struggling with hunger. I'm lucky to grow up where I could be whatever I want. I want to grow up and be someone who doesn't go to bed hungry. Please visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for kids like me. Together, we're Feeding America. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Such an eye-opener for me. And Brian, I have to tell you, I am truly a fan of what you write about. What I found interesting about this piece, if you Google it, very few people touched it. And I don't understand why the media remains silent on this, I think, really important issue.
Well, I don't know where to begin with that, but part of the problem is that there are just fewer reporters out there for any journalistic institution now, and court coverage is one of the things that suffered. The Free Press picked up on the decision, and I think Associated Press did. I'm not sure where else in the state it was picked up.
Well, not very many. I can tell you, I only need one hand to count, and I don't even need all the fingers, which I think is a sad reflection. Let me ask you. Well, first of all, I got an email from a listener that said, tell Brian his article, Whose Secret Sugar Daddy to Oakland Court Challengers, has been very persuasive in not voting for Ralston and Carly. I've emailed this to several people when they questioned who to vote for judge in the Sixth Circuit Court. Would love to hear this issue discussed. Would you like to discuss it?
I can discuss it for a few minutes.
Well, go for it.
Well, this to me is one of the most troubling developments on this year's electoral landscape. You have two candidates running for office, for judicial office in Oakland County, whose campaigns are being financed almost exclusively by a couple of out-of-state organizations whose funders, whose financing is a total mystery. Now, I should say that most people in Oakland County believe that the candidacies are being financed almost exclusively by a single wealthy Oakland County businessman who has come up on the wrong side of some rulings in civil litigation before incumbent Oakland County circuit judges, and this is his revenge. But I have to tell you, we have found nothing to confirm that. But the contention of the candidates, Deb Carley and Bill Rolston, is they have no idea where this third party advertising that supports their candidacy. And I mean, it's not just an addition to their own campaign. It is massively overshadowed their own campaigns. The media buy is approaching $2 million now to promote Carley and Rolston's candidacy and to attack their opponents. Their contention is they have no idea who's funding it or why. And I think that it's simply not credible on its face. And that is all the reason, I or any other sentient person needs not to support their candidacies.
Well, I find it interesting in this. You know, we've been talking a lot today, Brian Dickerson, about the new way to politic. We actually visited with a radio show host in New York City this morning from WWRL, and this is a guy that's been part of political talk radio for over 30 years, and he's astounded as we take a look at Mitt Romney and other candidates that just so brazenly lie. And, you know, the problem is if they end up being successful, it changes the rules, and not for the betterment of democracy. I think you and I can agree on that.
Well, yeah, I think the whole basis of journalism is belief that that lies do not serve democratic process.
Well, no question that's true, Brian, no question. Listen, I want to thank you for your time today. I really enjoyed this piece. I love your work. We'd like to have you back more often if you'll have us.
Thanks, Tony, very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Brian Dickerson, again, a journalist, award-winning journalist and columnist with the Detroit Free Press. He's one of the rare ones that gets it right. He's not afraid to say what needs to be said. And one of the things that I love about Brian Dickerson is every now and then he'll write a piece that is so outside the normal mainstream of what we read. Even this story is something as simple. It is a simple topic. You know, why isn't it getting larger media coverage? So I want to give Brian a lot of credit for bringing a conversation to the table that isn't always represented in the mainstream media. And he is a part of course, the mainstream media. So I find that absolutely necessary.
This is John Filo from the Sugar Law Center for Economic and Social Justice in Detroit, Michigan, wishing everybody out there listening, Tony and all the folks at the station, a warm and happy holiday.
On 1310 WDPW.
Dear friend, you've helped me steady my way through school. When I thought I was alone, you were right there. When times are tough, you were there to lean on. And when nobody would listen, you always said, tell me. Then came the time when you said you had a mental health problem. Well, my friend, as you always said you would be there for me, I'm here for you. Together, we will recover.
To learn more about mental health problems, go to whatadifference.samhsa.gov/native. This message is brought to you by the Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
A weather advisory has been issued for the listening area. Heavy downpours may result in flash floods, while wind gusts up to 60 miles per hour threaten to knock down trees and electrical wires. Once again, a weather advisory has been issued. Authorities urge motorists to exercise extreme caution in the following areas.
Please deposit 25 cents for the next 3 minutes.
Radio. You shouldn't have to pay for it. This message brought to you by America's 13,000 local radio stations who believe some things were just meant to be free.
When my family found out I was on drugs, they were devastated.
It was killing them, you know, it was killing them.
Tears your family up more than it does you.
My dad was frantic, and he looked at me and he said, "We're not going to gamble with your life."
I wanted to have my family back, and that's when my mother found Narcanon.
If you or someone you love has a drug or alcohol problem, call Narcanon today at 1-800-468-6933 or visit us at www.stopaddiction.com.
Attention shoppers, if anyone is missing a rather plump set of love handles, please come to the customer service counter and claim them. The ample love handles were lost in the produce department where their former owner had purchased fruits and veggies to munch on during the big game. Thank you and have a good day.
Small step number 81, snack on fruits and veggies. It's just one of the many small steps you can take to get healthy. Learn more at www.smallstep.gov.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
After Sergeant Matthew Kyle was injured in Iraq, his young wife Tracy faced the daunting task of getting their VA benefits.
There's a lot of red tape. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of forms to fill out.
For years, paralyzed veterans trained experts have helped injured veterans and their families. National Service Officer Bobby Hager explains.
We're able to fill out all of the forms and applications and ask for all of the benefits that that veteran's entitled to.
To help, visit pva.org.
He would come home after a hard day and just start in on me, you know, like, "Hey, how's your day? How was school? What you got going on?" I mean, it gave me the chills.
The time I got this wicked, cool scorpion tattoo on my shoulder, not even the whole arm, just the shoulder, and he grounded me for 2 weeks. 2 weeks! And oh yeah.
Don't worry. They'll appreciate it. Eventually. A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council. Have you been a dad today? For more information, visit fatherhood.org.
The following letter was written by Sergeant Leroy P., U.S. Army.
I'm currently on my third tour to Iraq. Never have I ever seen so much love and support from people I don't even know. My mom always told me that there are angels among us. And right now, I really do believe that. Very much.
Your support may be the most important thing our troops can carry with them. To show your support, visit americasupportsyou.mil. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Defense and the Ad Council.
Time for traffic.
All right, we have bad news if you're on the road. An overturned tractor trailer is causing major gridlock. Cleanup crews are trying the wreckage, and traffic is backed up for nearly 12 miles. If you don't want to be stuck in your car all day, make sure you absolutely avoid route.
Please deposit 25 cents for the next 3 minutes.
Radio. You shouldn't have to pay for it. This message brought to you by America's 13,000 local radio stations who believe some things were just meant to be free.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk.